Did I was a little bit concerned about people taking children seeing that, but I suppose, you know, you're seeing that, you know, what you can actually do to help. Lucy Baby, thank you so much for joining us. She's head of science and conservation at Orca. They're a charity protecting whales and dolphins. Thank you very much indeed to her for talking to us about that heartbreaking story, but also some hope there for those magnificent animals. Talking of magnificent animals, Mr. Bob Mills is in the studio. And in your Corbyn-style black flat cap there.
I'm wearing it as a tribute to Jeremy.
I'm sure he's on
the Jeremy Kango. How are you, sir?
I'm,
are you
very,
all right?
I'm very well, sir.
What have you been doing today?
What I love is that you look like you've just come in from buying some Hovis.
A man who looks like he sells fish off a lorry. Sums it up.
Back of a lorry.
You get a good show?
I don't. I think we should let the listeners decide.
Yeah, of course.
So I think they'd probably vote no as usual.
What have you been doing? All claptrap. It's been claptrap.
Usual claptrap. Yeah, but it's better than what John Holmes normally does, which is just nonsense. What are you going to do?
Hey,
which one are you going for?
Don't. I've inherited you. Oh, and I'll tell you what, mate. This has got Pulitzer written all over it.
Oh, yeah. Award-winning radio coming up right now. Tell us.
Sandwiches.
It's a winner.
A survey shows that people eat sandwiches. Puns, British National Pun Day.
Can I say, everyone's very upset about the fact that people just eat ham sandwiches every day. What's wrong with having the same thing for lunch?
And the BAFTAs. But they pulled me in to do it. I'm on one of my stupid diets. All I've had is oatmeal. Oatmeal this morning, and I've got some chicken waiting for me when I get home.
You're going to be in a mood all day, aren't you?
I'm in a filthy mood.
Absolutely.
Could punch someone to death.
Luckily, he's got sweets hidden under his black cap. And that's Bob Mills coming up with you, standing in for John Holmes from 1 till 4. I'll be back with you at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Don't forget, of course, Paul Ross here with all of your breakfast show needs from 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. This is Talk Radio. Stay tuned. Have a great afternoon.
Talk Radio. We got entertainment and we're not afraid to use it. Talk Radio.
Do you know how much you've won?
I can't believe it.
You've won £1 million. That's amazing.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's amazing.
Oh, that's unbelievable.
Jill is just one of the lucky millionaires made in the Lotto raffle. In every Lotto draw, £1 million must be won. Play makes it possible. Games, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 16 or over.
By the time Adam has screwed that socket back on the wall, by the time Sam has tightened that tap, or Jim has finished packing up his tools, their click and collect orders from Screwfix will be ready. With Screwfix Click and Collect, you can check stock online at screwfix.com, order, and thousands of trade products are ready to pick up in as little as 1 minute from any of our 500 stores nationwide. Screwfix Click and Collect, in as little as 1 minute.
Don't ignore the workplace. It's the law to have a work. Even if you work from home and only employ one person, you'll still need a work. You'll still need to offer a workplace pension. Ah, finally. I got your attention. Don't ignore the workplace pension. It's the law. Get to know your responsibilities with help from the pensions regulator. Visit workplacepensions.gov.uk.
You're the backbone of our business. Strong, reliable, plus you look great. And you're really well built.
Oh, cheers, Steve.
Not you, Terry.
The Renault Traffic with 4 years 0% APR, servicing roadside assistance up to 4 years warranty and 3 Watt Van Awards. Make it part of your team. Visit a Renault Pro Plus specialist dealer to find out more. Business users and participating dealers only. Minimum deposit of 20%. Renault Finance hire purchase. Register by 31st of March. Subject to status. T's and C's apply. See renault.co.uk/offers.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. Talk Radio.
And a very good afternoon. Thank you so much for Julie Hartley-Brew for 3 hours of informative debate radio. I'm Bob Mills with 3 hours of non-informative, non-debate radio coming up. I'm sitting in for the great John Holmes, and I'll be with you as soon as we've had the news from Victoria Bourne.
Thanks, Bob. Coming up, major speech during crisis in jails, 4 dead in avalanche, and Brits do badly at the BAFTAs.
Talk Radio.
Labour is calling on the Justice Secretary to take responsibility for the prison crisis. Liz Truss is due to give a speech where she's expected to say the number of inmates in England and Wales can't be cut with dangerous quick-fix solutions. Campaigners say overcrowded jails are putting lives at risk. Mark Day is from the Prison Reforms Trust.
Short prison sentences of less than a year have a reoffending rate of about 60%. Mm. And prison actually makes it more likely that you'll reoffend. offend, because what it does is it often means that you lose your home, you lose your job, you lose contact with your children.
Four people have been killed in an avalanche in the French Alps. Rescuers say they've managed to pull out two survivors but are still looking for three people in Teen. Nearly 200,000 people who live near America's tallest dam are being told to leave their homes over fears it could fail and unleash torrential waters. It's because the emergency spillway in Oroville in Northern California is severely corroded. Authorities are releasing water as they continue to order people away from the region. Sheriff Corey Honey says residents will be looked after.
I recognize how tough this situation is on people. I recognize that we've had to displace a lot of people, but we needed to do that to ensure the public safety. That's the most important thing. That's the thing that we will continue to focus on going forward.
For the first time ever, pensioners are earning more than working age people. A study by the Resolution Foundation says that incomes have grown by more than 30% since 2001. And Britain has suffered its worst performance at the BAFTA Film Awards in a decade. Despite being hosted here, British talent won just 6 of the 25 honours up for grabs, down from 10 last year. The most high-profile win was Dev Patel for the Best Supporting Actor category for his role in Lion.
Talk Radio National Weather.
Cold, windy and sunny in the south and west. Cloudier in the northeast and southwest with some rain or drizzle. Highs of 10 degrees.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
I'm Ben Fletcher. Good afternoon. England's new Test cricket captain is Joe Root. The 26-year-old succeeds Alistair Cook, who stepped down last week. He's been Cook's vice-captain since May last year. He'll have 5 months to prepare for his first Test in charge against South Africa at Lord's on July the 6th. On to tonight's action, Bournemouth aim to end a run of 5 Premier League games without a win at home to Manchester City. They're just 6 points above the relegation zone, facing a City side who are 5th in the table with 3 top-flight wins in a row. Gerry's boss Eddie Howe won't be making any rash changes to his side's style of play.
We've been in this position before. It's nothing new for us. When we first came into the Championship, we took some heavy blows and we responded in the only way that we know, and that's to improve, and that'll be the same again.
Finally, Manny Pacquiao's next opponent will apparently be decided on Twitter. The WBO World Welterweight Champions asked fans to vote on who he should face in his next bout, which he says will be held in the UAE. That's the latest sports news powered by TalkSport.
Hi, this is Bob Mills. I'm sitting for John Holmes. And just for the... I've just got a little thing. It's an American show, Jeopardy, but I like it. And it's just a little excerpt from tonight's episode. I'll have words for 10 points, please. Secretary, avalanche, and best supporting. Words that Victoria Bourne stumbles over. That's right, you've got 10 points. Ding!
Thanks, Bob. I'm struggling speaking today.
You didn't say the word speaking properly.
Oh, man. Should I just go home
now? Wow, what's the matter? Sometimes, do you know what? If you're a footballer, sometimes maybe you think, oh, my calf doesn't feel right. If you're a long-distance runner, you might think, I don't know. Maybe if you're a newsreader, you think, I don't know if I can string a sentence together today.
Yeah.
That must be tough.
Do you know what? I thought that with John away, I was going to have a nice time and people wouldn't pick up on my mistakes, but...
You looked at me and thought, he's the kind of guy that'll gloss over.
I was hoping that, yeah. Oh, my God.
No, it was wonderfully well delivered. I mean, the problem with that is, when I'm on the radio, it doesn't matter. People expect me. They know I'm basically like a white van driver who's had a stroke. Right? They know that they don't expect anything sort of literate from me. But if you're a newsreader, sometimes it's important, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, secretary don't matter. And Dev Patel, best supporting actor, doesn't matter. But sometimes it's important, isn't it?
Yeah.
So the next time you've got a really important one, it's going to be in the back of your mind, like a little worm, thinking, oh, my God. Can I say massacre? It must be terrible.
I'm going to have a paranoia now.
What is the worst thing you've ever said wrong? Take that. I'll give you an example. The Scottish football commentator who hadn't done his research and thought that I haven't done my research, so I don't know who actually plays at Tannadice, but there's a Scottish football team who play at Tannadice. They were in a European game.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know where they played and presumed they were away and said, and then who are in Tannadice this evening.
I once, instead of saying Partick Thistle, I said Patrick Thistle.
Oh, that's lovely, though. That's nice, isn't it?
Because I was like, oh, that's probably a typo.
Yeah, that's the other thing. When you look at thing and think, well, that's what they're saying, but I'm not sure it's right. I'm going to take, shall I take a punt on it being Patrick Thistle? It's much more likely in Scotland that someone called Patrick Thistle got beaten today than Partick. But anyway, well done.
Thanks. I'm not sure it's deserved, obviously.
No, you did. You know what you did, Victoria? You did your best.
It wasn't my best. I'm going to put that out there. I'll try harder for half past.
Do they have a department there? You know at the BBC they have a department of pronunciation.
No, this is Talk Radio.
Yeah. So what do you... seriously, what do you do if you get... Especially in, you know, if we do a lot of sport here and names come up. Have you got... Is there an app or something?
It's either the internet or ask one of the sportsmen.
Okay.
Yeah.
But there isn't a guy in an office somewhere whose
job it is. We don't have a dedicated guy, no. Or woman, no. No dedicated pronunciation service.
Okay, well...
I mean, I do know how to say all of the words I struggled over today.
Yeah, secretary.
I just didn't manage to do it. Thank you.
Avalanche.
Oh, you made that sound very French. Yeah. Avalanche.
This is a French word. Secretary, avalanche, and best supporting.
Secretary.
Avalanche.
Best supporting. Yeah, thank you.
By Jove, she's got it. Thank you very much, Victoria. And we'll see what in an hour, half an hour, what?
I'll be back for half past.
Half past. Half past.
But I'm not.
Where are you from?
I'm from the Midlands. Half past.
As they say, half past.
Yeah.
If anyone doesn't understand, sorry, this is my favourite joke. If anyone doesn't understand the way linguistics work in England, in the South, the difference is in the South, people say, "I'm going to go and have a bath," and in the North, they don't. Right. Let's.
Sneaky. I prefer a shower anyway.
Whereabouts in the Midlands you from? Then?
I'm from Warwickshire.
Wow. They should thank their lucky stars that you do the news as well as you do, shouldn't it? Not, all right, shut out a bit.
No, but that's more Birmingham and Wolverhampton, that accent.
Where's Warwickshire then?
It's about. What's the town in Warwickshire? Warwick, Stratford-upon-Avon, where Shakespeare's from. Where both me and John Holmes are from.
Except I was doing a gig recently because you come up the M6 and you go around and then you head back down to it. They've taken Shakespeare's County off the sign.
What? Why? That's controversial.
Absolutely controversial.
I was
used to be
aware of this.
Welcome to Warwick, Shakespeare's County. Yeah. They've taken Shakespeare's County off. Don't know why.
I'm going home at the end of the month. I'm going to look into that.
They've rebranded. I don't know.
They love a bit of Shakespeare down there, though. They can't get enough of it.
I've got to wrap it up, apparently. Okay. She just screamed in my ear really loud.
Sorry.
Wrap it up. Sorry. Thanks, Vic. See you in half an hour. Or 10 minutes now, obviously. Wrap it.
Talk Radio.
Let's not go home yet, Wilbur. There's a new film out with penguins in.
Ah!
Change of plans. You can control your heating from your phone wherever you are with Hive Active Heating. It's just £9 a month exclusive to British Gas customers, and you won't pay anything up front. You'll never need to heat an empty home or come back to a cold one again.
No!
Shh, Wilbur, the film's starting. Control your heating from your phone for just £9 a month. Search British Gas Hive. Conditions, exclusions and cancellation charges apply.
Turn up the trouble on the radio show that doesn't take itself too seriously.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Bob Mills on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
That was like, well, hi, it is Bob Mills. This is Talk Radio. If you've tuned in to hear John Holmes, then I apologise. He's away. It's half term. He's having a little break, so it's me. Because the difference between me and John Holmes is that he could give a monkey's about his kids. I really don't care. It's half term. I'm here. Let me tell you what that was like. That was like those American programmes where the programme starts, you meet everybody in the cast, someone gets murdered, and they start the investigation, and then the titles come up. That's what happened then. 1:10, we finally introduced the show and said who was on it and everything. So thank you so much for that. I'll give you the details, I suppose. If you want to give us a call about anything today, I'll tell you afterwards what we're going to be doing. If you want to give us a call, you do that on 03444991000. calls. They don't cost your standard rate. You've got to take that out of the bracket. What they shouldn't cost anything if you've got an included minutes package, an IMP, an included minutes package. And I've got to be honest with you out there, if you haven't got one, what are you doing? Pressing button B and putting 2 bob in the slot? Really, you've got to have one and you shouldn't be paying anything to call us. 03444991000. You can text the word talk and then your message to 87222, or you can tweet at Talk Radio. That's if you've got anything you want to talk to us about, because the first hour of the show looks like a humdinger. Ooh, John's left me with the very best. What John's done is gone on holiday and said, you make sure you keep all the best stuff for that Millsy boy when he sits in for me. Sandwiches. I'm willing to hazard a guess here. There's been a survey. Has there been a survey? Yes, there's been a survey for the National Society of Students that failed their A-levels so badly they have to work for a company that does nothing but do nonsense surveys in page 4 of the newspapers. But there's been a survey by that company, and they've said that apparently... Oh, this is scandalous. Oh, I'm welling up. Why didn't one of them lovies at the Oscars make a point of this? This is what the people need to know about. Office workers are eating the same lunch day after day. They find a sandwich they like and they stick with it. Because that is the world we live in. That is the world of Trump and Brexit, where poor office workers find a sandwich filling they like and have to stick to it because they've got no hope. Oh, my God. I've got to... See, why isn't Ken Loach making movies about that? Making movies about a poor office worker somewhere who's sitting there thinking... I'm just going to have I'll just have the crayfish tails and rocket salad, please. But you had that yesterday. Yeah, I know, but they don't encourage change where I work. Anyway, we'll be dealing with that. That's the first big issue that we're dealing with. That's in the first hour. Oh, we got a psychologist. Oh, we're not mucking about. It's just not just me rambling. We've got someone with a doctor going to be talking to. Someone from the British Sandwich Association, the BSA. Do you really think that all those years ago, those incredible British craftsmen who handmade the most fantastic motorbikes that have ever taken to the roads of the world, one day thought, when we go bust, our initials BSA are going to be taken up by the British Sandwich Association? Oh, they'll be turning in their graves. But they made the Bantam. They made the Bantam. One of the five behind the Victor and a couple of others. One of the five greatest motorbikes that's ever been made was made by BSA. And now, if you Google BSA, you'll be put onto the website of the British Sandwich Association. And that is the Britain that we live in today. That's the first hour. That's only the first hour. Ooh, you wait till we get to 2 o'clock, then it all kicks off. What is it? Tomorrow is the finals of the UK Pun Championship. Is this the Leicester Comedy Festival? Yeah, well, I'll support them because they do a good thing. And every now and again, they have to do hocus and pocus just to get a bit of publicity. But I don't begrudge it to them, so I'm happy to do it. And anyway, my mate's coming on. Izzy Lawrence is going to come on to talk about proper puns. People think they invented puns, you know, in the 60s and carry on. But the pun has been big since the Middle Ages, because there used to be a time when even anyone who was even vaguely educated, of course, 80% of the population of this country wasn't educated, but those that were, even if they just went to they were a peasant's son or a farmer's son, you went to a day school run by one teacher, you still did Latin and you still did German, you still did French and you still did Greek, and you had the language was the most important thing to you. And so the punnery was wonderful, it was clever and it was intelligent. The greatest pun ever written was written in Victorian times, and it is thus. And this is the first thing you can call 03444991000, text the word talk in your message to 87222, or tweet at Talk Radio. This is the first thing you can do that about. The greatest pun ever written is this. At what point in the day would you have a vegetable timepiece? There you go. It's that simple. It's an old Victorian pun. At what point in the day would you have a vegetable timepiece? There you go. That's what we do in the second hour, puns. In the third hour, BAFTAs. Oh, my God. We've got people on talking. Yeah, Gemma Fort is coming on, writer and presenter, and she was at the BAFTAs last night. And Emma Kelly, deputy showbiz editor of the day. They'll be talking to me about the BAFTAs. I don't know if you saw it, but my God, what a lovey fest. Oh, darling. Oh. I just want to thank everybody. I just want to thank everybody, and especially the poor people who can't be here. I really don't deserve this. But if you don't deserve it, don't take it. Simple as that. There you go. That's your problem solved. I just don't feel that I've done enough. Well, then don't walk away. Just walk away. That's it. Hitch your gown up and get off the stage if you don't deserve it. But I'm sure if you think differently about the BAFTAs, tell me this. Last night or any night that you've been sitting watching the awards ceremony, the BAFTAs and the Oscars, what sticks in your craw the most that they've never given a BAFTA to? For instance, Die Hard. Did that get a BAFTA? Huh? Did Die Hard get a BAFTA? No, I don't think Die Hard. The Hunt for Red October, Sean Connery's finest hour. Did he get a BAFTA? Has Sean ever got a BAFTA? Somebody in that room better be on a computer now trying to find this out. Because when we come back from the break, I want a list of every film that I like that hasn't got a BAFTA.
Talk Radio. Intelligent, organic entertainment.
Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
It's the radio show where listening is highly recommended.
Home Rule with Martin Roberts on Talk Radio with Northwood's Guaranteed Rent.
Whether you're looking to own, rent or just improve a pad, get essential advice from top property expert Martin Roberts. Home Rule this Saturday morning from 11 on Talk Radio with Northwood's Guaranteed Rent. Our landlords get paid on time every time, even when a property is empty. To find your local office, go to northwooduk.com/branch.
I'm Tom. I'm in year 11. I was always getting told off for talking, so I thought about the debating team. Now I'm thinking about university.
I put the debating team flyer in his desk. Was sick of telling him to pipe down. I wanted to put his voice to better use. Now he's thinking about university. I teach year 11. I'm Mr. Corbett.
Apply now and you could get a £25,000 tax-free training bursary to teach subjects like maths and languages. Search Get Into Teaching. Subject to eligibility. Selected subjects only.
With Sky Bet, great just got greater. Introducing the all-new Cash Out Boost. Turbocharge your winnings with a chance to win a cash bonus when you cash out your bet. We could make £40 into £48, £20 into £30, and £25 into £50. With Cash Out Boost from Sky Bet, why cash out anywhere else? Sky Bet, that's betting better. 18+, gambleaware.co.uk. Eligibility restrictions and T's and C's apply. Max cash out boost to the value of £50. Amounts will vary. When the fun stops, stop.
Divorce. It threatens the things you've worked hard for in more ways than you can imagine. Your home, savings, pension, and most of all, your relationship with your children. Don't let divorce cost you any more than it has to. Cordell and Cordell is dedicated to helping men in matters relating to divorce. Call now on 0330 60 60 161 or visit cordellcordell.co.uk. Office in central London. A partner men can count on.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
There's problems due south of Kendal in Cumbria. Both sides of the A65 through Natland are currently blocked. A tree has fallen onto the road. A big queue for the northbound M1 in Leicestershire. Near Leicester, junctions 20 to 21. A couple of lanes are closed for emergency repair works. No change in the Crowland area of Lincolnshire. The Crowland bypass, the A16, remains closed after a serious accident involving a lorry. And east of Salisbury in Wiltshire, both sides of the A30 near Firsdown remain closed after an accident involving a car and a motorcycle. I'm Jarena Adams.
That guitar riff means you're probably expecting an update. The latest news or travel, maybe. Telling you what the chances are of getting to your destination on time. But what if you never get there at all? Because heart disease can kill when you least expect it. Even now. No warning, no time to prepare. Just like that, the journey's over. But with the British Heart Foundation's research, together we can beat heart disease. Join the fight at bhf.org.uk to help us fight for every heartbeat. Now, how's that traffic looking?
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Delaney, live at Drive. Get the full service and parts experience with essential debate, big name guests and a truckload of topical emissions.
Traffic stopping, drive time entertainment with me, Sam Delaney.
Delicious, de-groovy, de-lovely, Delaney.
Stop.
Look, listen to Sam Delaney.
Get involved.
This afternoon from 4.
On Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Bob Mills.
On Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Guys, Bob Mills here for John Holmes. And apparently Sean Connery did. He got a fellowship in 1998 and he was nominated for the Hunt for Red October, but he didn't win. And Hunt for Red October didn't win the best film. But he did win as best actor for The Name of the Rose in 1988. So he won in 88 and 98. So I apologise to the BAFTAs for saying that they'd neglected Sean Connery, but what I was very specifically saying was they'd neglected Sean Connery in The Hunt for Red October, which I still stand by because it's better than any of the films that won last year by a country mile, which I don't expect you to agree with, but that's why you can phone or text or tweet or do whatever you like. But in the meantime, we have Dr. Becky Spellman on. Hello, Dr. Becky.
Hi, Bob.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Now, food psychologist, is that a proper thing? You graduate as a food psychologist?
I'm a registered psychologist and I work a lot in food, right, and people's eating behaviour. So this is definitely an area of interest of mine.
Right. Now, here's the thing. What this is all about, someone's pointed out in a survey that, I guess mainly British, and we're dealing with British, mainly British people, yeah. Once they've decided on their second or third day at work what they want for their lunch, they tend to stay with that forever. That is what they have for their lunch. They very rarely change.
Yeah, it's, you know, it was so surprising. So New Covent Garden Soup was very interested in the behaviour of our food choices. And what they found was for lunch, we're having the same thing every single day and people are just sticking with the same option. So 77% of people are just having lunch on repeat. Exact same thing. But it's not even like very wide and varied lunches. Mainly it was like sandwiches with one filling in it. So the top on the list was ham sandwiches. Then we had cheese sandwiches, then we had chicken sandwiches, and then there's more sandwiches further down on the list with egg sandwiches and prawn sandwiches. So
now, Becky, there was a time, I mean, when I started in the workplace, then you could understand that because if you wanted a sandwich, you've just gone through the three that were available. No, egg, you could get egg as well. But now, when you go in a sandwich shop now, sometimes I go in a sandwich shop and I have to leave because I can't make my mind up. Because there is so much stuff.
And maybe that is the reason why people are having the same thing for lunch every day. They don't want to make the choice. They don't want to take the time to make those decisions. Often people think it's easier to not spend time thinking about that area of their life. And that's probably one of the reasons why it's on repeat. The people in our survey said they thought it was easier. And also they thought it was more cost effective to have the same thing for lunch every day.
Yeah, maybe once you've decided on your price, this is what I know how much. See, that's another big thing. If you know how much something costs, then you think, well, there you go. I can budget that. If I have something different, it might be a bit less or a bit more. And then I'll get confused at the end of the day when I'm seeing how much money I've got for my oyster. And I guess the other thing with sandwiches, you're saying ham sandwich, cheese sandwich, chicken. See, they don't exist anymore. If you go in one of the big sandwich shops, I might go in there and think, oh, I like cheese, but then I don't like brie and grape. And I don't like Wensleydale. I do like Wensleydale, but I don't like the marmalade chutney. There is so much other stuff going on within the sandwich.
So you're saying that the problems is there is too much choice.
Yes, and that once you've found one, it's too risky to say. Because sometimes you just look and think, oh, egg, I'll have egg. And then when you get home, you get it to your desk and you sit and think, well, I didn't read the watercress bit.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I hate watercress. I didn't know. And ham, of course, the big problem with ham is I love a ham sandwich, but I hate any kind of mustard.
What about trying new things, though? Even just once, like having something new to look forward to and, you know, getting excited about those new flavours and not having to have the same thing every single day.
Yes, except, let's look at it this way, Becky. In the evening, Let's do that. Let's try a new restaurant. Let's go to Ottolenghi's. Let's go to here. Let's do this. Let's try pomegranate on something, because that's the evening. And
it's
if it doesn't work, well, you know, you can have something else, and then you get on with the day. But imagine working in the morning and then having an hour for lunch, and you've got an afternoon's work, and you have to face that afternoon's work having made the wrong choice. You can't do that. You're not going to take that risk, are you?
So the problem is you need exciting lunches that are risk-free.
Yes.
And easy. Okay, so I've got a solution for you.
Right, go on.
So New Covent Garden have basically been on this mission to revive people's lunch lives. They have 30 different flavours of soup. So for a whole month, you can have a different flavour every single day. And it's interesting, it's cost effective, it won't take much time to prepare. There you go. There's variety in your lunch life without taking huge risks.
Well, but no, within those 30, there will be 10 that you don't like.
Just don't choose the ones that you don't like. Ah. Pick the ones that sound most appealing to you, because there's all sorts of interesting flavours and everyone's different. You know, this is about personal preference as well. So the reason there's 30 flavours is because everyone likes different things. So you can pick loads. You can pick 20 that you like.
Yeah, but
forget about the other 10. You know, you don't need to try the ones that don't sound so appealing for your personal preferences.
But hang on a minute. Let's say you got an hour for lunch. How long is it going to take you? And I'm taking into account small print here. If you go to any, even the, and you're, the Covent Garden, the good ones, but any of the soups in the cartons, and you see mushroom. Oh, lovely! I like mushroom soup. But then you got to stop. Don't buy that. Stay a second and read the small print. Ah, tarragon. I hate tarragon. So that one's out of the equation. Here's another mushroom. Oh, mushroom. I like mushroom. Oh, no. Chorizo. Do you understand what I mean?
You're a complicated man, Bob. You're making this quite difficult. So the way I see it is you bring your soup to work. You can either bring it in the carton and pop it in the microwave if you got one in your office. Or if you don't have a microwave, you can bring it in your flask. It's already prepared in the morning. It's hot for you. If you have to have lunch at your desk, it's there. It's ready. It's easy. You could have tried it in advance to make sure that you like those ingredients, because, Bob, you seem to be a bit finicky with your eating habits. So maybe try it beforehand to make sure it's the one for you. But you could get into a routine of having these different flavour soups.
Well, maybe. But I just think, does anyone make mushroom soup?
Does anyone make mushroom soup?
Yes.
Have you had a history of having problems with mushroom soup?
Because sometimes I buy mushroom soup and three or four spoonfuls, I think, oh, hang on a minute. And I go back to, oh, tarragon. Oh, they've had to put tarragon in it. There's always something. They always add something. Tomato, that's the only one that's ever just tomato. Although even now they put herb in it. Tomato, and we spiced it up with a few herbs. No, I didn't want it spiced up with a few herbs.
Well, you know, I guess it's hard to please everyone, but they definitely put a lot of conscious effort into making the flavours as delicious as possible. So, but again, you know, personal preference. You just have to find the ones that you really do like.
What you mean by that beautiful diplomatic phrase, Dr. Becky Spellman, is, Bob, we're pleasing 99% of the population. It's just idiots like you, right, who live in fear of tarragon. I should be seeing a psychologist about my tarragon.
About
fear.
Your eating. I'm trying to really encourage you to try different things and have variety in your life and be open-minded, and it'll add that boost to your day. You can have, you know, really look forward to that treat at lunchtime.
Right, just before we go, I'm back tomorrow. I'm doing the show tomorrow here. This is lunchtime. What soup shall I have tomorrow? You tell me and I'll buy it. I won't check the small print and I'll eat it. Go on, give me one quick.
What's your favourite flavour?
Mushrooms.
Try the new Covent Garden mushroom soup. There's a voucher on the website. You can get it there. And you can get the voucher on newcoventgardensoup.com.
It's got tarragon in it, hasn't it?
Try it, Bob. Trust me.
I will. I will blind taste that soup tomorrow.
Let me know. You can send me a tweet if you like it.
I will do. Thank you, Dr. Becky Spellman.
Thanks,
thank
Bob.
You very much. Ah, so that's me. That's me. The first hour of the show might be all right, but if I eat soup and there's tarragon in it tomorrow, you better not have anyone within punching distance of me for the rest of the show. Let's have the news with Victoria Bourne.
Talk Radio.
The Justice Secretary is due to say that cutting sentences to reduce the prison population in England and Wales would be a dangerous quick fix. Liz Truss insists it's right for those who've committed serious crimes to spend longer behind bars. Sarah Hughes from the Centre for Mental Health, which works to prevent prison suicides, is worried.
We have a growing prison population. We have a reducing, depleting prison officer force. And I think it goes without saying that the majority of prisoners do have some incredibly complex needs, mental health being one of them, learning difficulties, addiction.
At least four people have died in an avalanche in the French Alps. They were caught off-piste at the resort of Tignes, close to the Italian border. A number of skiers are still trapped in the snow. Almost 200,000 people are being told to leave their homes in California due to a structural failure at America's tallest dam. Officials are warning of a 30-foot wall of water because heavy rain has sent water pouring over the sides of an emergency spillway. The European Commission has downgraded its forecast for the UK economy. It's predicting growth of 1.5% this year, down from 2.1% it suggested before the EU referendum. And Joe Root has been named as England's new Test cricket captain. He replaces Alistair Cook, who stepped down last week. Ben Stokes is the new vice captain. The weather cold and windy, but a good deal of sunshine for southern and western areas. Cloud will be more persistent in the northeast with highs of 10 degrees. There's more in half an hour.
The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast. Tomorrow morning from 6 on Talk Radio.
Mornings can be tough. Sleep in the corner of your eyes, groggy, maybe even hungover. Well, the Full Set Breakfast will set you up for the whole day right here on Talk Radio with me, Paul Ross. Star guests, great news stories, the sport, the weather, everything you need to kickstart your day. We'll help you strain up under the bear of mornings.
The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast. Tomorrow morning from 6 on Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Bob Mills
on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
This is Bob Mills, sitting in for John Holmes, who's taking a bit of time with his kids. You can call us on 03444991000. You can text the word talk and your message to 87222. Or you can tweet us via the web. Hashtag, what is it? At Talk Radio. Is that what it is? At Talk Radio. At Talk Radio. I'm bemused now. Firstly, well done, Victoria. Got through that without a fluff, was perfect. And I was just about to compliment her when she started, I don't know. Honest to God, it was like something from the riots in the 70s. She's just gone through the entire studio picking up stuff and nicking stuff because she hasn't got a charger. I haven't got my charger. Whose is this? Unplugging people's phones and computers. I'm sure some of it is necessary for the running of a radio station, but she's filled her bag of swag with it and off she's gone. I've never seen, she went through it like a, as my mother would say, like a herd of lotus. She went through and nicked all the charging cables. Anyway, how are we all doing? You're all having a good day? I'd forgotten it was half term because it doesn't affect me anymore. My kids are all grown and well past that stage. But I saw there was a lot of kids on the trains today being taken places by their families, which is nice. I used to like half terms and holidays. I'll tell you then what must be nice, and you have to be careful saying this because I'm sure some people are suffering terribly from it, and if you are, then I'm sorry. But a lot of places, it's snowing. I'd looked on the news this morning, and a lot of places around the country. We're based in London, which is why we're obviously sometimes so horribly London-centric. But at the moment, it's cold, but it's really bright and the sun's shining. And I just think half-term, that would be brilliant for it to be snowing because your kids are like, what better thing for a kid? And to wake up in the morning and there's snow. And you can go out and go out sledging or you know, snowballing or building snowmen. One of the happiest days of my life, we got snowed out once. We were in Brent Cross in the car. Not in Brent Cross in the car because there are rules and regulations about driving within the shopping city. But we were at Brent Cross, which is a shopping centre in North London. And it had just vaguely started to snow as we went in. It's my wife and I, Jan and I. And then we were there about 3 or 4 hours. And when we came out, all hell had broken loose. And there was a 4 foot of snow. And we tried to drive home. And we went up and through Golders Green. And then there's a big hill that you have to go up to past the Bull and Bush pub in Golders Green. And it was impassable. Absolutely impassable. And so we turned left, went up one of the side road and parked the car. So now we park the car because we can't drive anymore. I'm supposed to be working that night. And we're sitting there and Jan's got her normal sort of going to the shop shoes with a heel on them. And I've got my shoes on and neither of us have got coats. And I'm supposed to be working that night. Nothing could possibly be worse. And within 5 minutes, everything changed because I got a phone call from the place I was supposed to be working saying because of the snow, they've had to cancel the show, but they've cancelled it. So you will get paid. Result. And then... And I'm sure that something was at play here. I went and opened the boot of the car, and for some insane reason, because some weeks before we'd been doing something, there were two pairs of Wellington and two coats. So we both had, now suddenly, I had no worries about work. We both had Wellington and we both had coats, and we sat off walking. We left the car and we sat off walking and we walked up to the Jack Straw's Castle, which if you live in North London, you'll know. But if you don't live in London, it's part of Hampstead Heath. It's a road that runs through Hampstead Heath and we walked down it. And as we got to the end, there's a beautiful medieval pub there called the Spaniards. And the lights were shining and we went in and there was five or six locals that were marooned there because they'd driven there and they couldn't get away. And we sat there and they were serving food. And we had a meal and we sat there and it was the most wonderful 5 or 6 hours. We left at about 2 in the morning and walked home right down the middle of the roads because all the streets were deserted. All the cars were just parked up. Ah, it's sad, isn't it, that was the greatest day you've ever had, wasn't it? Imagine if you'd won a BAFTA last night. The greatest day you've ever had. I won a BAFTA. What's the greatest day you ever had? It snowed once and I got to sit in a pub for 5 hours. What a paucity of ambition that shows. Give us a call, by the way, on 0344 499 1000, or text the word talk in your message to 87222, or tweet us at Talk Radio if you've ever won a BAFTA or been nominated for a BAFTA. Lots and lots of people have. For every famous person that you know who's won a BAFTA, there's 30 or 40 people you've never heard of who've been nominated. I've been nominated for a BAFTA. I've got a BAFTA nomination in my toilet. You come around my house and go in the toilet. Oh, no, they actually, Chan moved it. Isn't that funny? I just remember she moved it from the toilet because I've got a new little bit at the back of the summer room now where I've moved my desk to, and it's up there now. But I've got a BAFTA nomination. It's lovely. It's in like a gold frame, and it's got a picture of the BAFTA. And the great thing about it is everything in it is big writing except the word nomination, which is they've left nice and small. So if you see it for the first time, it looks like a BAFTA. But the word nomination, you have to look quite carefully to. But that's not a bad thing to get, is it? So if you've got one, give us a call. Now, when are we going to be talking? Who are we talking to next? We're talking to Gethin, aren't we? Say that again. Go on, say it loud so the audience can hear. Yeah, go on.
We've got to go to break first, Bob.
You see, to me, that sounds like we've got to go to breakfast.
Oh, to a breakfast.
Now it sounds like we've got to go to a breakfast.
Why are you making fun of my English,
I'm
Bob?
I'm not. I'm just saying, I thought you said we've got to go to breakfast. And I livened up for a minute, but we're going to go to a break. And then when we come back, we're going to be speaking at some point to Gethin Evans, who's PR for BSA. And they're all thinking, oh, great, we're talking about motorbikes. No, it's the British Sandwich Association.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. For those about to talk, we salute you.
Don't do the every day on Talk Radio with the Royal Navy Reserve.
Hello, it's Alex here, your Royal Navy Reserve correspondent. And what have they got planned for me this week?
All right, so today, Alex, we're going to do the damage repair instructional unit. This is where we're going to simulate the ship being hit by missiles and water's going to come in and we've got to stop it, basically.
So I'm going to get wet.
You're going to get absolutely soaked.
Oh, we've just unplugged the wall. I'm getting used to the cold now. It's just my hands that are cold. It's now gone dark. We've had a second attack. We're still blocking up the wall, and it's still cold. But it's good, though. Teamwork's prevailing.
This is definitely one of the best things about being in reserve. You would never get a chance to do anything like this. It gives you so much more than just coming away here and learning how to stop a ship from sinking, but the confidence to actually get in there, work with people that you don't know, that you probably actually won't see again, to get a job done, is pretty incredible.
Don't do the every day on Talk Radio with the Royal Navy Reserve.
What a bargain!
It's a song!
Saving us over 95 quid!
All we did was collect Hands of Kazan today!
I think that was collect 10 tokens inside the sun and get 2 free tickets to Chessington World of Adventures Resort. Start collecting today.
Van Buster now on. Quickstep and Dante laminate flooring was £14.25, now just £10 per square metre. Excludes VAT at 20%. Trade on.
You're the backbone of our business. Strong, reliable, plus you look great. And you're really well built.
Oh, cheers, Steve.
Not you, Terry.
The Renault Traffic with 4 years 0% APR, servicing roadside assistance up to 4 years warranty and 3 Watt Van Awards. Make it part of your team. Visit a Renault Pro Plus specialist dealer to find out more. Business users and participating dealers only. Minimum deposit of 20%. Renault Finance hire purchase. Register by 31st of March. Subject to status. T's and C's apply. See renault.co.uk/offers.
Talk Radio Traffic and Travel.
There's still delays on the M1 near Leicester. If you're northbound 20 to 21, 2 lanes are closed for emergency repairs. In the Crowland area of Lincolnshire, the A16 along the bypass is closed both ways after a serious accident involving a car and a lorry. There's an accident on the westbound M4 in Berkshire causing delays towards Junction 7 for Slough West. 1 lane's out of action there. Queues back to Junction 6. And in Wiltshire, just east of Salisbury, the A30 is closed through Firsdown in both directions after an accident involving a car and a motorbike. I'm Gerina Adams.
That guitar riff means you're probably expecting an update. The latest news or travel, maybe. Telling you what the chances are of getting to your destination on time. But what if you never get there at all? Because heart disease can kill when you least expect it. Even now. No warning, no time to prepare. Just like that, the journey's over. But with the British Heart Foundation's research, together we can beat heart disease. Join the fight at bhf.org.uk to help us fight for every heartbeat. Now, how's that traffic looking?
The Teflon Maiden of Mid-Morning Radio is here.
Mid-Mornings with me, Julia Hartley-Brewer. Hard-hitting debate, strong opinions and essential listening.
Julia Hartley-Brewer.
You turn if you want to.
The ladies not for turning off.
Julia Hartley-Brewer.
Tomorrow morning from 10.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk. Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Bob Mills
on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
You're quite right, Thomas. Thomas is quite right. This is Bob Mills sitting in for John Holmes. And well done, Thomas Gruzeski, for spotting our deliberate act of racism of the day. We do one deliberate act of racism to make sure that the listeners out there are paying attention. And you're quite right. He's just chastised me, and I accept it fully and apologise wholeheartedly, because he said, well, I very clearly heard break first. But then again, I don't speak English very well, which is why I find it extraordinarily difficult to understand anything that Bob Mills says. Thank you, Thomas. You're right. You're right. And I apologise for thinking that Martha saying breakfast sounded like breakfast. And there you go. That's the thing. If you want to chastise me. I can handle that. You know what I don't like? Oh, I'll talk about it in the second hour. Ooh, something that someone at the BBC did to me on Saturday. Oh, it's annoying me thinking about it, okay? But we'll talk about it in the second hour, because it's too annoying to talk about before I talk about food. Gethin Evans. Hello, Gethin Evans.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. BSA.
Yes, the British Sandwich and Food to Go Association.
Well, that would be BSAFA.
Well, it would be, yes.
FTGA.
It's easier to remember, so we kind of kept it at that.
Right, the British. Well, I shall call it. To me, you'll just be British Sandwich Association.
Fair enough.
So, this, I was talking to, and I think she thought it was a bit mad, Becky Smellman, about the food psychologist, about why people pick a sandwich and stick to it. Because nowadays in the food to go section, they are so complicated. You can't buy a cheese sandwich anywhere. Well, you can, obviously, in a little cafe. But in the, you know, the ones I mean, the big food sandwich places, you can't buy a ham sandwich or a cheese sandwich. You've got to have all the four other things that go with it, haven't you?
No, not always. No, if you look through the lower end price range of any supermarket option, the simple ones are always the favourites. You can get a plain ham sandwich, ham with or without mustard. You know, that's always the big choice as well. And they're there. They're perhaps not in perhaps the expensive end of the range. Perhaps that's where you're looking at. Maybe, I don't know. But
No. I'll tell you what it is. I think in some of the, like, if I'm at a station and I go in one of the smaller branches, like, I know what you're saying in the bigger branches of the supermarkets, but in the smaller ones, I think they concentrate on the high end because I don't think they want people buying the basics, do they? Maybe it's just what I've found.
That's the way the consumer trends have gone, though. What we've seen is the biggest amount of growth in supermarket and or in any sandwich sales are in the higher end price range. So, you know, the kind of territory that we're looking at there is spends of over £3 account now for 70%. Of all the spends in total. So, you know, people are looking for that higher end stuff, and so therefore they are looking for, you know, those more complex flavours that come with added ingredients.
And what about the wrap? Is the wrap catching on?
Very much so, yes. Yeah, I mean, standard sliced bread is about a third of the market, but yes, wraps are down there at 6% at the moment, but are growing and have done steadily over the last couple of years.
Mm. I like some of the chorizo ones, but where you get the olive and that sort of stuff. That's like, but I've never really taken to the wrap. But as I say, that's just my taste. So what is the kind of top of the tree? Is it still ham and cheese?
The number one package sandwich flavour or filling last year was the BLT.
Ah, yes, you see. Well, the BLT is your perfect thing, and it's your perfect product as well, because you know what's in it.
Well, exactly.
In a BLT, there will be bacon, there will be lettuce, there will be tomato. They're not going to.
That's what it says on the tin. Yeah, right?
Exactly.
It passes the Ron Seal test. Yes.
Yes, exactly. It does that. But where people get suspicious is, and also, and I don't think I'm particular. I'm not the most sophisticated person in the world, but I don't think I'm worse than most people. Sometimes you get products and you think, well, that looks really nice, but I don't know what it is.
Well, the great thing about a packaged sandwich, of course, is that it's got all of the ingredients listed on it there for you. But, yeah, I mean, you know, if it's given a specific name that is different from a list of the ingredients, you know, a BLT is a list of the ingredients.
Yes.
And if it's given a fancy name, then yes, that does change things. But that's not something you find in sandwiches, particularly, more so in terms of ready meals and things like that.
Yeah.
You're not always clear, but from a sandwich, they're always almost always displayed also in clear film boxes as well.
Yes.
So you can see just by looking at it what's there.
Does anyone ever, the old sandwich bars, see, I remember the sandwich bars when I came to London, was working, and there was like Chubby's was the rest, and there was a couple in Soho, where you went and they had all the product there, and you could point, and say, I want some of that, some of that, and that. Are they still making a living, those guys?
Absolutely, yes, and there's a huge number, and there's thousands up and down the country, and part of the SAMMYs, which is the Sandwich Industry Awards, we recognise those great independents that are the backbone of sandwich manufacture everywhere.
My mate Stagger Lee Langton used to have one, I don't know if they're still going out in Dagenham, he had a lovely big sandwich shop there with all posters of The Who all over the walls. He was a big Who fan, Quadrophenia and all that, and
right.
That was the joy of there, was that. And I think it is a joy, because, you know, you go in Marks and you go in the other retailers, and they've got great stuff, and what they've got is what you want. But to be able to go in and say, I really like ham, and then the pickle, and then a slice of cheese, and then some, and then, yeah, fine, we'll do that for you. There you go.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah, and that's the joy, really, of an independent, that they're able to do that for you. They kind of make it right there in front of you, and, you know, you can see with your own eyes, well, yeah, actually, I quite like the look of that particular ingredient. I'll have a bit of that today, or, you know, I'll take my eye, but maybe not today. I'll have that later in the week or something, yeah.
So what do you do at the BSA?
What do I do? Well,
what does the BSA do?
Well, we act on behalf of the industry, really. So we give advice and guidance to all of our members. We look to liaise with government on things that are troubling the industry or things that the industry would like to see. So, for example, we've recently had a major breakthrough on the way that end of day surplus sandwiches are treated. We've had a change in the way that the legislation about use by date is interpreted. So no longer do you have to dispose of it now at midnight if you've got the evidence to show that that sandwich is actually safe to be consumed beyond the use by date, then that can be reused and distributed to charities, whereas previously they had to just be binned at midnight, which is a crying shame, obviously, and caused a huge amount of waste. And we were able to work with our members and with government agencies to be able to change that legislation. So, you know, that's the kind of thing that we do, not only for the industry, but also for consumers out there as well.
That is a hugely important, and I'm so glad that I'm talking to someone who was involved in that, because I know people out on the Slough Run and people who do the charity runs. That was the great thing, is that they knew that there was beautiful food out there that was being trashed. Because of legislation, it had to, because, you know, health and safety and risk and that. And the fact that common sense has, and well done if you've had any part in that, that common sense has now prevailed and said, no, we're not going to sell it again tomorrow and the next day, but tonight, for people who are out there and need something to eat, this is perfectly healthy.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the use-by date is a very, very set in stone thing, but you know, with the advances in refrigeration and packaging and things like that, there's microbial testing that's been done on countless sandwiches out there that you know, you can point to it and say, well, that actually is good for so many hours beyond its use by date, and so therefore charities, you're more than welcome to use that, and you know, we can show you data that says that's safe, take it, make use of it.
What's the future? Is it one of the things that I think is important is that we keep bread. I know that breads, and people go, oh, you should never eat modern flour, you shouldn't eat modern bread. But to me, a good sandwich has to start with good bread. All right, a nice, it doesn't have to be, you know, soggy white bread as it always used to be. But is the future of the bread sandwich safe?
I think so. It's a massive part of the market. It is one of the most versatile carriers, we refer to it as. You know, it's a great thing that holds those fantastic fillings in place. And so sliced bread is still a very, very significant part of the market. Clearly now people are developing ever new forms of bread, and gluten-free being one of the massive growth areas. So there's a huge future in it. It, you know, it may well change from the numbers that we have at the moment, you know, 31.5% being sliced bread. That may change, but I don't see any demise in the use of bread. You know, it is a tremendous, tremendous thing.
What's your sandwich of choice, Kathleen? What if you're sitting down now, lunchtime? You've got the whole, you know, everything there is to know about every sandwich in Britain. What are you choosing?
Well, today I've had two different types of sandwiches already. I had a bacon sandwich first thing this morning, and I had egg mayonnaise here at lunch. But
let's go back to the bacon one, and let's talk about that. Was that at home?
No, that wasn't. No, that was from a very nice bakery just around the corner from my office here in Chepstow.
A bread or roll?
It was a roll, and it was a sourdough roll.
Oh,
so
a sourdough bat.
Those new sort of developments in the bread where, you know, sourdoughs now are kind of everywhere. So yeah, there's some really good ones out there.
Now, here's the big question.
Mm.
Did you make the sop to the 21st century in Abbots and not have butter on it?
No, I didn't. I had proper butter.
Now, here's the other big question at all. What kind of sauce?
This is always the difficult one, and you can really polarise people by giving the answer here, but my personal preference is always for brown sauce.
And that, Gethin, is the right answer. Indeed, it's the only answer. Can I say something about ketchup? If you've got egg and chips on your plate, get the ketchup out.
But if
you have a bacon sandwich or a sausage sandwich and you put ketchup on it, there's nothing wrong with you, except you're an abomination in the eyes of the Lord. As far as my family are concerned.
I don't profess to speak on behalf of the Lord. I'll leave that for you, Bob. But, my personal preference is brown, and I agree with you, red on egg as well.
Red on egg and chip, by all means, but brown on... So you add that there. Now, you've had that. Did you eat that before you got to work?
I did. I ate it on my way in, yeah.
Right. Is it a kind of a guilty pleasure for you, that a big old bacon butty in the morning?
Oh, it's certainly a pleasure. I don't know necessarily guilty I feel about it. If I'm perfectly honest with you, I quite enjoy it.
Fine. And what about the egg, the lunchtime one?
That was egg mayonnaise, and that was on a brown roll.
A brown roll.
Yeah.
With cress?
No, just plain egg mayonnaise.
Oh, really?
I'm a man of simple tastes on occasion.
Yeah, I like a bit of cress. I do like a bit of cress in it. What I don't like is... I think it might have been someone in the planning section at the sandwich makers who got it wrong, because suddenly they've started putting watercress in it.
Uh-huh.
Now, watercress is wrong. When you have an egg mayonnaise sandwich with cress, it's the cress we used to make at school.
Yes.
Remember, little Mr. Potato Head cress.
Tray, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
But I think someone has misunderstood, and they've started putting watercress in, and it spoiled the whole experience for me on a couple of occasions.
You prefer the sharper sort of tang of a traditional cress, do you?
Yes, absolutely.
Mm.
A lovely little thing. It reminds me of being a kid at school and growing it. So everything's healthy.
About sandwiches, it does that, doesn't it? You know, it takes you back to a momentous occasion because you've had it all your life. It's a staple that's been there forever. So, you know, it does evoke that kind of memory.
Gethin, about 5 years ago, I live in London now. I work in the media in London. I work in radio in London. About 5 years ago, I was stopping off in my hometown. I was between trains. So I phoned my mum and said, listen, I've only got a couple of hours because I'm changing train to Chester. It's a big, as you know, it's a big railway changing point. I said, but I'm just going to nip over. And she said, all right, I'll make you something. And I went over and I had a cup of tea. She made me a big pot of tea and she made me a plate of sandwiches, Gethin. Oh, and I sat there and I thought, I don't care where you are. I don't care if you're in the poshest sandwich bar in the poshest part of town in Poshville. No one is eating better than me today. Sliced bread. I'll tell you what it was. It was a sliced Hovis, and it was bread that was sliced so thin. And my nan used to do it, and it was years... I was about 15 or 16 before I said to someone once, I said to my sister, how does Nana... managed to slice that bread so thin and then butter it without it breaking up.
That's the skill.
Yeah, and my sister said, and it was like a revelation, she said, they butter it before they slice it. Oh, of course they do. They butter it
genius.
First and then they slice it.
Genius.
That's the only way you can physically do it. Otherwise, it's impossible. Gethin. It's been a joy talking to you.
You too.
Thank you for all the great work that you're doing in the world of sandwiches. We salute you. We salute you, okay?
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you, Gethin. Lovely.
Talk Radio.
Join the Talk Nation.
Dial up and Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
Do you dream of being part of a more exciting fleet?
Where to, mate?
Spending your spare time with an interesting new crew. If you've got ambitions that go beyond the everyday, listen to the Paul Russ Full Set Breakfast on Talk Radio and learn more about serving in the Royal Navy Reserve. Develop new skills, expand your horizons, and experience challenges and opportunities you won't find in your day job. The Paul Russ Full Set Breakfast tomorrow morning from 6 on Talk Radio. Don't do the everyday, every day. Search Royal Navy Reserve.
Morning, hun. So, how's Tamworth?
Yep, the hotel's good. I'm just having a sausage sandwich before we go off to set.
How did it go yesterday?
Yeah. The director seemed to really like what I brought to my performance.
That's great. And who are you today?
Man in crowd number 11.
At Holiday Inn Express, we take care of what matters inside the hotel, like including a hearty breakfast in the price of your stay, so you can enjoy what matters outside of it. Book direct at holidayinnexpress.com. We know what matters.
By the time Adam has screwed that socket back on the wall,
by the time Sam has tightened that tap, or Jim has finished packing up his tools. Their click and collect orders from Screwfix will be ready. With Screwfix Click and Collect, you can check stock online at screwfix.com, order, and thousands of trade products are ready to pick up in as little as 1 minute from any of our 500 stores nationwide. Screwfix Click and Collect, in as little as 1 minute.
Have I got PPI?
Want to know if you've had PPI? Find out with our free PPI check.
The team at Stanton Fisher recently claimed back over £4,500 for me. This money was invaluable, as I'd been out of work for a little while, and it gave me some breathing space. I did very little, and I got some money back. It was awesome.
So text CHECK to 80800 for your free PPI check.
Have I got PPI.com?
That's CHECK to 80800.
With Sky Bet, great just got greater. Introducing the all-new Cash Out Boost. Turbocharge your winnings with a chance to win a cash bonus when you cash out your bet. We could make £40 into £48, £20 into £30, and £25 into £50. With Cash Out Boost from Sky Bet, why cash out anywhere else? Sky Bet, that's betting better. 18+, gambleaware.co.uk. Eligibility restrictions and T's and C's apply. Max cash out boost to the value of £50. Amounts will vary. When the fun stops, stop.
Across the UK, online and on DAB. Access all radios.
Talk Radio. Give it some lip. Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Bob Mills sitting in for John Holmes, about to enter the second hour of today's show, where we'll be doing puns. It's the National Pun Championship. But first, the news from Victoria Bourne.
Thanks, Bob. Coming up, trust won't cut jail terms, deadly avalanche in France, and drink restrictions at the races.
Talk Radio.
The Justice Secretary is due to say cutting sentences isn't the answer to prison overcrowding in England and Wales. In a speech this afternoon, Liz Truss will warn that's a dangerous quick fix. Mark Day from the Prison Reform Trust has told Talk Radio around a quarter of inmates are in overcrowded accommodation.
The impact of that is that people are less likely to get access to the rehabilitation courses which they need to reduce their risk of reoffending. And it also means that levels of safety and decency have just bottomed out. We've seen them get worse and worse.
Rescue teams are searching for skiers swept away by an avalanche on the French Alps. The group of nine were off-piste at the ski resort of Tien, which is close to the Italian border. Four bodies have already been recovered. A level three avalanche warning's in place, which means there was a considerable risk of a snowslip. Vanessa Hackman's from Edge magazine.
We've waited a lot of the season to have snow like this, so it is very tempting to get out there in the snow. I mean, I think people have been sensible to wait for it to drop to level three, but I think maybe some people underestimate how dangerous a level three can be.
Thousands of people who live near America's tallest dam are fleeing their homes amid fears it could fail. The emergency spillway in Oroville in Northern California is severely corroded. If it gives way, it would create a 30-foot wall of water. Limits on alcohol are being brought in at Cheltenham's horse racing festival. This year, visitors will only be allowed to buy four alcoholic drinks at a time, and there'll be water points in every public bar. It's to put people off going to the races purely for a drink. And Tesco says it'll check the prices of all items in every store after customers were overcharged because of out-of-date promotions. It's after an investigation found some deals are still being advertised on shelves months after they expired.
Talk Radio National Weather.
Cold and windy, but a good deal of sunshine for southern and western areas. Cloud will be more persistent in the northeast with highs of 10 degrees.
No snow.
No here. Snow. No, sorry.
Is it snowing anywhere?
I don't think it is today.
Oh, in I the thought UK. I saw some pictures of the snow. It would be lovely, though, first day of half term to be snowing, wouldn't it? On a scale of 1 to 10 with what you know of the sport of horse racing.
Yes.
How popular is the drink ban at Cheltenham Festival going to be?
I don't think it's going to be very popular. I'm going to say like 1 out of 10 popularity. So
you're only allowed 4 drinks. So you have a voucher. It's a voucher system.
I don't think it's vouchers. I think just when you go to the bar. Well, there may be vouchers. Yeah. I don't know the ins and outs, but you're right. Only allowed 4 when you go to the bar.
I will give them... If you're from the organising committee at Cheltenham Races and you're part of the people organising the drinks ban, I give you, on behalf of myself and of Victoria and on behalf of ourselves and our sister radio station, I'll give you 2 words. Alan, Brazil. I need say no more, okay? If you want to go bankrupt, have it. Bring in the four drinks rule, by all means. You crack on with it because it's for the good of the community. But if you want to make a couple of bob for a week of the year, just wind your neck in, all right? I'm sorry. And that was a brilliant... Well done, by the way. That was all word perfect.
It wasn't.
No, you'd had a little bit of a scoop.
There were two mistakes. But my half past was perfect.
The Leicester Comedy Festival has its pun awards. Would you like some from last year?
Yeah.
Right, I'll give you the thing and then you have to. I brought an impressionist painting of some flowers, but when I got home, the cat scratched it. Now I'm trying to sell it as a Claude Monet. I saw a sports car being driven by a scantily clad sheep. It was a Lamborghini. You see?
Brilliant.
That's the kind of quality we got coming up. Who's doing the sport these days for us?
Ben Fletcher.
Ben Fletcher's doing it.
Yeah.
Well, Ben Fletcher, you jolly well get on with it, old fella.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
I'm Ben Fletcher. Good afternoon. We'll start with cricket. Joe Root says he's privileged, humbled and excited after being named as England's new Test captain. The batsman has released a statement saying he hopes to build on the achievement of his predecessor Alistair Cook, who stepped down last week. Martin Moxon, the director of cricket at Roots County, Yorkshire, says he's confident he'll be a success.
You know, his tactical knowledge and his management skills are up there. So, I fully expect him to be successful as England captain. Just with his work ethic and his ability to learn and his thirst for knowledge. You know, it's no great surprise that he's been so successful.
Ben Stokes has been named as England's new vice-captain. There's one game in the Premier League this evening. Bournemouth host fifth place Manchester City. Finally, boxing. It would appear that Manny Pacquiao set to fight Amir Khan next. The WBO World Welterweight Champion has asked fans to vote for his next opponent on Twitter. The options are Amir Khan, Kell Brook, Jeff Horn or Terence Crawford. Khan's leading that poll with nearly 50% of the vote. That's the latest sports news powered by TalkSport.
Talk Radio. Turn up the treble on the radio show that doesn't take itself too seriously.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Bob Mills
on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Hi, it's Bob Mills for John Holmes. These are all, by the way, I was doing some puns because we're doing National Pun Day tomorrow, the Leicester Festival doing. I'll always support the Leicester Comedy Festival because he's brilliant. And the ones I'm doing are Richard Pulsford's from last year. Richard Pulsford is an incredible punster. I sent a food parcel to my former wife. Yep, FedEx. Life is like a box of chocolates made of leather and zipped around your head. Also says Forrest Gump. All right, that's very good. That's very good. So we'll be doing all that kind of stuff. But firstly, I believe John's there from Lewisham. John from Lewisham. Hello, John, you there?
Yeah, I'm there. Yep.
Nice and sunny in Lewisham. It's lovely. And we're based in Waterloo, but it's very, very bright. I'm sure it's cold, but it's very bright here.
Actually, I'm not in Lewisham. I'm in Limehouse, but it's just up the road. But yes, it's lovely and sunny. I'm sitting down by the canal. And enjoying a glass of cider.
Oh, how lovely. What a beautiful...
I heard your thing when you have to park your car up because of snow.
It was an evening that looked like it was heading for disaster, but turned into the most beautiful, warm memory evening of my life. Yes, when I got snowed in Hampstead and had to sit in the Spaniards with my lovely wife for 5 hours.
Lovely indeed. Well, when I was doing my apprenticeship up in Lowestoft, which is, you probably know, is the most easterly point in the UK.
Where?
Lowestoft.
Lowestoft, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And we got snowed in. It was so cold that my car wouldn't start because the petrol wouldn't vaporise.
Yeah, glory days.
Lorry drivers were lighting bonfires underneath their fuel tanks to try and turn the diesel, which turned into jelly, to hopefully try and start them. And it was they just gave up. But the local pub where I was lodging at, because I was on block release as an apprentice boat builder, he just had a delivery, which was good for 2 weeks. And the boss just phoned me on the old landline, because there wasn't any mobiles in those days. He just said, stay in the pub, don't go outside. And I had nearly 9 days of drinking in the pub, which is fantastic, you know.
Do you know what? Sometimes I remember as a kid, you would see, because I grew up up north, and you'd read about people, we pulled into the car park, or we were here at a function at this pub, and it's got flooded or it's got snowed in, as it used to back then, and we were stuck here for 5 or 6 days, and you'd think, yeah, you've had the best time of your life.
Yeah, right.
I don't care what's happening in the outside world. 9 days stuck in a pub in Lowers, under boss's orders.
Yeah, and lovely open log fires. lovely food, plenty of beer, and I ran up a bar tab. I mean, it was, I was only on, our wages then was, I was in year three, so I was on £23 a week take-home pay.
Mm.
But, you know, a beer was like 40 pence, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it wasn't a problem. But no, it was fantastic. I loved every minute of it. And when it only lasted for 9 days, and then the weather got to a balmy -2, and then, of course, my car worked then, and then I had to go back to work, you know?
You see, there is a generation that are listening to this thinking, well, what do you mean his car wouldn't start as long as you got antifreeze in it? What's he talking about? You can't light a fire under it. But I come from a family of HGG drivers back to my granddad, who won a medal in the war. He didn't. He had a reserve occupation, so he wasn't called up. But he was driving petrol all around Coventry while the Blitz on Coventry Cathedral was going on. So
Coventry got it bad, didn't they? Coventry,
got it terribly.
Birmingham. You know, because that was the industrial heart of Britain,
yes,
wasn't it?
Yes, but the idea of drivers lighting fire under their petrol tank, their diesel tanks, basically, to stop it jellifying. Yeah, that used to go on. That wasn't an unusual thing at all. Getting a brazier under there.
Because the diesel back in the '70s didn't have the antifreeze. I'm an HGV driver myself, although I've got laid off last May, zero hours contract, made homeless. I'm in a hostel now because I'm ex-forces as well. So when I left the boat building industry, I went to the forces. But no, the modern diesels now can withstand Norwegian winters. Because they've got special antifreezes in them. The modern diesel is much cleaner. With the modern HGV now, you've got a separate tank of a fluid called AdBlue, which atomizes in the exhaust system, which cuts down emissions by 80%. But you don't have that problem now. But in 1978, we didn't have that technology. And when the diesel turned to jelly, you ain't going anywhere, mister.
John, sorry, you didn't bring... You just mentioned this in passing. But do you get sort of help from the Legion with your situation as it is? I'm not going into... I'm not.
No, I'm actually staying at this hostel in Limehouse. It's called Veterans Aid.
Right.
And it's ex-servicemen who are made homeless. And they try and move you on. You know, I've just finished an IT course, and I've never been on a computer in my life. Just finished a two-week course. Fantastic it was. And I've got a tiling course to do next week. And then I've been offered a job in Derbyshire building traditional narrowboats in wood. So
What's the name of the organisation, John?
The organisation where I'm staying at is Veterans Aid.
Uh-huh.
It's for ex-servicemen who are homeless, and they will find you somewhere to live. They are, you know, really good.
Because it is one of the terrible, shadowy, forgotten problems in British society. I mean, I don't claim any links with the military at all, except that when as part of my professional life, I go out, or I used to, they've closed it now, there used to be a camp on Cyprus where the kids came on their way home and did decompression on their way back from Iraq and Iran and Afghanistan they were fighting out there. And the thought that some of them, having been through what they've been through, were going to go home and not find that life was a bed of roses, and that a lot of them, especially the younger ones, were going to go and maybe their families had broken up or something and they were going to find themselves, you know, in trouble was...
Yeah.
It's one of the great shames of this country that we haven't. And I'm not saying this I'm not knocking any group that helps any other people, that everyone deserves help equally. Yeah. But I think, so they're called Veterans Aid, and they'll have a website, won't they?
Yeah, they'll have a website. Yeah, I think the head office is, well, I had to go to Victoria.
Okay.
That's the head office. And that's why, when they found out I was homeless, there was an outreach worker that said, look, you know, try this organisation. And they put me up in this hotel just around the corner for the weekend. And then on the Monday, they gave me an Oyster card, put money in my pocket.
And you've done some courses, and you're going back to boat building in Derbyshire.
In 1981, when the boss said to me, "When sorry, there's no more orders for wooden boats anymore," and the yard I studied at was a really good yard, and he said, "We won't compromise and build plastic boats, you know, fiberglass," and that's it, load us off. So I joined the forces, blah blah blah. But I never thought, it broke my heart, I never thought I'd be building wooden boats again. And this chap, I met him by the canal, because I like to sit here down by the canal, and he said to me, "No, come and build boats for me, and I'll pay you a really good wage as well, you know, rather than go back into haulage and transport." He said, no, sod that. He says, "Come and work for me, and I'll pay you a decent wage, you know."
John,
and, you know.
Brilliant, mate. I'm so glad that it's ended, it looks like it's turning out well for you. And before, I promise you, before we finish the show, we'll have a website address and details for Veterans Aid and anyone who's listening to this and wants to think. I'll tell you what, I won't have the crayfish sandwich today. I'll stick a couple of quid in the Veterans Aid box. They'll do that on behalf of me and Talk Radio. It's been a great pleasure talking to you. Thank you, John.
Talk Radio, the 21st century dream team of dialogue, debate and discourse.
Talk Radio, give it some lip. It's the radio show where listening is highly recommended.
Home Rule with Martin Roberts on Talk Radio with Northwood's Guaranteed Rent.
Whether you're looking to own, rent or just improve a pad, get essential advice from top property expert Martin Roberts. Home Rule, this Saturday morning from 11 on Talk Radio with Northwood's Guaranteed Rent. Our landlords get paid on time, every time, even when a property is empty. To find your local office, go to northwooduk.com/branch.
To celebrate the launch of the new, bigger Mini Countryman, we're giving you the chance to win a Mini for a year and experience all five models in the range, so you can enjoy spring with friends in the 3 and 5 door hatch. Keep cool in summer with a convertible. Turn over a new leaf in autumn with a stylish Clubman. Then take on winter in the versatile Countryman. Book a test drive between the 11th and 28th of February for your chance to win and turn an hour of driving into a year of excitement. Visit mini.co.uk/a mini for a year. Who's in? Test drive subject to status and availability. T's and C's apply. Participating Mini retailers only. No cash alternative.
Ah, the soothing sounds of the panpipe. Close your eyes and you can almost believe you're being serenaded by villagers in the foothills of Machu Picchu, not hanging on for someone to answer your call. But if you're not a fan of faux Peruvian hold music, you'll be pleased to hear you can now do your tax online instead of waiting around on the phone. The new personal tax account from HMRC is quick, easy and secure and lets you check your tax and update your details online. See yours today at gov.uk/personal-tax-account.
The food, the ambiance, the company. By Valentine's Day, you could have found the person you've been looking for. Subscribe now to Encounters Dating and save 50% on your first 3 months. Find your perfect match this Valentine's Day. Search Encounters and subscribe today.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
There's delays for the southbound side of the A500D road in Stoke-on-Trent with queues from just before the Etruria Road roundabout down towards the A50 near the Betts 365 Stadium. I think it's because of a problem on the eastbound A50. There's restrictions there for an accident involving a lorry. The M1 north near Leicester is heavy because of emergency repairs, junctions 20 to 21. New problems in Lincolnshire, this time for the northbound A1 near Colsterworth. Queues there because of an accident blocking a lane. And no change east of Salisbury in Wiltshire. The A30 is blocked both ways through Firstown because of an accident. I'm Jarena Adams.
Can the new Ford Fiesta ST line please both head and heart? Its dynamic full-body styling, the striking silhouette, the double-stitch interior finish, the eye-catching honeycomb grille, the of the door. And you get £500 off when you test drive any new Ford. Can you please both head and heart? It looks like you can. For more information, visit your nearest Ford dealership. Ford. Go further.
Test drive a new Ford vehicle between the 1st and 28th of February and save an extra £500, including VAT, off the on-the-road price of a new Ford vehicle. Contracted and registered between the 1st and 28th of February. Excludes Car Plus, Focus RS and Mustang models. Retail customers only at participating dealers.
Just when you thought it was safe to turn on your radio, the big beast of broadcasting is back.
Talk Radio has harpooned a whale. A great, big, stinking, smelly one.
The voice of reason returns to Talk Radio.
Hello, I'm James Whale.
The legendary James Whale is back.
Great whale tales from the blowhole of Bologna.
The James Whale Show, tonight from 7.
100% whale, 0% blubber.
On Talk Radio, we'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Bob Mills.
On Talk Radio, we'll get you talking.
Hello and thank you very much for sticking with me. This is Bob Mills, sitting in for John Holmes. You can call me on 03444991000. You can text the word talk and your message to 87222 or tweet at Talk Radio. Thank you very much, Thomas Scruzzese, for coming back to me and saying you didn't need to apologise for the breakfast, but you weren't being racist. You didn't say anything about based on her colour or a creed or a nationality. No, but I made fun of the way she talks, and that's casual racism. I live in a family that's constantly aware of casual racism because all my family, my wife, my children, my mother and father are all Muslims in London, who live very, very happy and comfortable lives, but they're aware all the time. We live in London. And the reason we live in London was the point we were going to move out of London to the countryside. And we spent a few days looking around at houses. But we live in London because we were in a cake shop in a little village. And my son was playing by the door and my wife said, Tolga, don't be near the door. You'll get your fingers caught. And the lady in the cake shop said, what was his name? And my wife said, Tolga. And she said, ooh, what a funny name. And my wife said, right, let's get back to London. I don't want to live anywhere where my kids have got funny names. Thank you very much. Which is why we never moved out into the great countryside. That's not to say that everyone in the countryside is like that. But you do have to beware. So I apologise for saying that we need to go to break first. Made me think that we were going to breakfast. Hello, Marta.
Hello. Apology accepted, Bob. How could I not forgive you?
And that was so nice talking to John. Isn't it funny? You talk to someone, he's talking about what happened to him in Lowestoft and then drops in just near the end of the conversation that, you know, since I've been homeless. But it looks like it's going all right from Veterans Aid, and you've sent someone out to get details of Veterans Aid.
Yeah, we'll get them shortly.
Because I don't like a lot of comics stuff, and some of them get a bit too like, oh, yeah, I've done stuff with the military, you know, Although some of them got medals for doing it, which is good. Yeah. I appreciate that. But my work with them was that they would stop off because fortunately, we're no longer in Afghanistan and Iraq, but when you were, you weren't allowed to come straight home. Mm-hmm. You can't fly directly from there to back in England and get back in your car. You have to have what they call a decompression period. Which they did in Cyprus. And I used to go out there and work with them and do my best to entertain them. And you would sometimes see them and you think, some of them are younger than my kids and they're on their way home and I don't know what their homes are like. Maybe a lot of them are single parents and maybe their families are broken up. Maybe the flat that their mum or their dad had taken wasn't going to be big enough for them now. They were big army soldiers and maybe a lot of them were going to end up like that. And I think it's one of the great tragedies that we should be doing something about. But anyway... Let's get on to puns, shall we?
Yeah, change of gear.
The Leicester Comedy Festival, which I'm a great fan of, and so I will always help them with their hocus-pocus things to get publicity. It's the finest of the UK pun championships. That's been going for many years. Now, I did say to you, although I'm worried now that I've had the whole thing about casual racism, that surely there must be some Spanish puns, some Spanish jokes.
Yes.
Like, what do you call someone... who gives money in for Barcelona. So I don't know. I don't know how it would work. But so do you have that kind of thing in Spain?
We do have that kind of thing, but I've got to tell you that is not as popular as it is in the UK.
Right.
Like, I actually had to go onto Google to try and find some puns because something like a pun championship, like a national pun championship in Spain.
But when you were growing up, go back. So you grew up in Barcelona?
Yes.
So you were a child in Barcelona?
Yes.
So what used to make you, in the playground, what would make you laugh in Barcelona? Would you say things like, what do you call a deer with no eyes?
Go on.
No idea. What would you call a deer with no eyes and no legs?
Go on.
Still no idea.
That's really good. See, we don't do that.
You don't have
children.
A version of that?
No, I mean, we do have a version of that, but it's not the kind of thing that children would joke about. It's the kind of thing that...
What do you call a dinosaur with one eye?
Go on.
Do you think he saw us?
Oh
my God, can you come to gigs, man?
If you pay me.
Seriously, I had no idea that you would be laughing at this point.
Yeah,
so you don't have a Spanish version of that?
We do, but it's really weird. I can read you some puns.
Okay, you can read us some puns, but I'd love to hear a joke from your school days in
Oof,
Barcelona.
I'll have to think, that was a long time ago.
Come on, seriously. What kind of childhood did you have? You don't remember a joke from your childhood? Even like in this kind of... Do you want to know a dirty joke?
Mm-hmm.
A man fell in the mud.
Ah.
You don't have a version of that.
I'll have a think.
I'll have a think.
Hey. But I can read you a couple of puns now.
Give us a couple of puns now. Spanish puns.
Okay. Shall I read them in Spanish and then translate them?
Oh,
or...
damn right we want to hear them in the original.
Okay. So, first pun. Afuera está lloviendo. Pues dile que pase, which means, it's raining outside. Well, tell raining to come in then.
Okay.
That's what we do.
Fine. Yeah, that's okay.
That's the kind of thing we do, so it's not...
No, go on, it's good. It's good.
I thought you weren't
good. No, that's very good. It's raining outside. Well, let the rain in. No, that's nice. Yeah. Yes, go on.
Point number two. A policeman stops a pedestrian and says, hang on.
Are we not getting this in Spanish?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Oh, please.
Sorry.
I think I went
straight into English.
Oh, no, our multilingual European friends will insist. Go on.
Un policía detiene a un transeúnte y le dice, a ver, usted, deme el nombre. Sí, hombre, y entonces, ¿cómo me llamo yo? Which means, a policeman stops a pedestrian and says, hey, you, give me your name. No way. And then what will my name be?
There you go. I won't have one myself. Yeah, that's fine. That translates perfectly well.
Yeah. Do you want another one?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Bated breath.
Okay.
Hang on. Sorry. We've already done the ratings for this month, haven't we? They're out of the way. No, fine. Let's carry on with the Spanish jokes. It won't count for the next lot.
We'll be the last one.
Go on.
So, in Spanish first. Dos amigos se encuentran y uno de ellos ha engordado mucho. Uno le dice al otro, oye, pero ¿no me dijiste que te ibas a poner en forma? Sí, en forma esférica. Which means, two friends meet up and one of them has put on a lot of weight. So the one says to him, didn't you say to me that you were going to get in shape? Yeah, in round shape.
That's good, yes, yes. As my very good friend Ricky Grover says, people show I'm not in shape, but I am in shape. I'm in the shape of an onion.
Exactly.
That's fair. And as my wife says to me, do you know what? When I married you, you were a fine figure of a man. Now you're a fine figure of three men. It's always funny. Making fun of people's weight problems and the tears and the horror that they go through. It's always funny. So thanks for that. Is Victoria coming in now? Hello, yeah. Victoria. So does she have to sit in that chair? I know she can sit there and do the news. We've got a minute, though, haven't we?
We've got a minute, yeah.
Okay.
Do you want some more Spanish puns, or do you want to read some puns from last year?
No. Let's have some more of the Spanish ones.
Okay, so...
One more, okay. Uno, solo uno.
Solo uno, okay. In Spanish first. Oye, ¿tú de dónde eres? Yo, de Madeira. Anda como Pinocho. Before reading in English, I've got to say that Madeira is a Portuguese island.
Yeah, we know what Madeira is.
And Madeira in Spanish means wood.
Means wood.
Wood.
Okay.
As in a tree.
I get it. Yeah, I've got
okay.
it.
Okay. So the pun says, hey, where are you from? I'm from Madeira. Oh, just like Pinocchio then.
Ah, you see, now that's good.
That works in Spanish.
That works a treat. That works a treat in any language. Let me give you some more of the ones that from the were in last year's pun thing. My very good friend Tony Cowards, who I've been trying to phone to get on the show, but he's not answering his phone. He's probably on the road. He spends most of the day. He's my favourite of all the pun comics. I've spent my life living in an anorak. And I've got to say, it's tough in the hood. I love the BBC's programmes about space and time. I hope they continue them. That's quality, isn't it? There's been an outbreak of bovine novavirus in Austria. Apparently the hills are alive with the sound of moose sick. See? I'm going to gig solely in Barcelona from now
on.
Do they have jokes in the Black Country where you're from?
I'm not from the Black Country.
All right. Do they have blokes in jokes?
Blokes? They do have some blokes.
Do they have jokes in the Yao Yao country where you're from?
I'm not from the Yam Yam country.
Right, where are you from?
Warwickshire. South Warwickshire. It's very lovely.
Yeah, exactly. You're from the posh bit, aren't
you? All right,
you?
I can't help where I'm from.
Shakespeare's country. Oh, I did a gig in a hotel in Stratford-on-Avon.
Mm.
All right, it was the coach driver's award in Stratford-on-Avon. And it was in the... I went up to reception. And I'm sorry, no one, I stand behind no one in my admiration for Shakespeare. It's one of the greatest, you know, one of the things we've got most to be proud of. But when you go to reception and say, hello, sorry, I'm here for the Coach Drivers Award. And the woman goes, hang on. Oh, yes, down the corridor on the left and in the Troilus and Cressida Suite. Really? Really? At a little hotel on a roundabout, that's what you've come up with. So when we come back after Victoria Bourne's news, who have we got?
We've got comedian Samantha Baines, who is one of the finalists of this year's UK Pun Championships.
Lovely. Well, we should look forward to that. And we shall have that after we've had some sport. But first, the news from Victoria Bourne.
Talk Radio.
The Justice Secretary says she won't consider bringing down sentencing lengths in order to reduce the number of people in prison. There have been concerns recently about safety in jails with record numbers of assaults and suicides, but Liz Truss says there's no magic bullet to fix the situation in England and Wales. Former Justice Secretary and Labour peer Lord Falconer gives us his assessment of the current system.
The problem in the prisons now is there are not enough prison officers and there are not enough resources. And simply to say, I'm going to keep the prison population as it is without addressing that issue is the real dilemma for the Justice Secretary.
Four people have been killed in an avalanche in the French Alps. Five survivors are in the process of being freed from the snow near the resort in Tain. The group of nine were skiing with a professional when the snow slide hit an off-piste slope this morning. Seven people have been killed and 40 injured in a bombing in eastern Pakistan. A man on a motorbike targeted a protest rally in the city of Lahore. There was a big drop in the number of people having cosmetic surgery last year, the lowest in a decade. Just over 30,000 operations were carried out in 2016, down from just over 50,000 the year before. And Adele says she was devastated after having to restart a performance in memory of George Michael at the Grammys. Her night did get better, though. She went on to win 5 awards, including for Best Song and Album of the Year. The weather, cold and windy, but a good deal of sunshine for southern and western areas. Cloud will be more persistent in the northeast, with highs of 10 degrees. There's more in half an hour.
That was good. That was fine. That's very well done.
Thanks,
who's doing the sport?
We don't do sport.
You don't do sport while I passed?
No, that's a Talk Sport thing.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Of course, I sometimes work for our sister station.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at the times. They have all the posh papers there. Just looking at the time. It's my favourite joke when I was a kid. I was just looking at the obituary column in the Times. Isn't it funny? Posh people all die in alphabetical order.
Oh.
Terrible, isn't it? Coming up, we have got... What have we got coming up?
Samantha Baines.
Samantha Baines.
She's
now,
a very funny lady.
Well, here's the thing, because when Mard said and we got Samantha Baines, you went all,
oh, she's so nice. She comes in sometimes, and she's been in some really good programmes. She's been in Call the Midwife and The Crown on Netflix.
Exactly. Yeah. I didn't know that you were such a big fan, though.
She's lovely.
A close friend.
No, I wouldn't say close friend, but we chit-chat.
Okay, well, we'll be talking to her very, very shortly, and thank you very much for that exemplary news bulletin.
Thanks.
Did your husband accidentally transfer the contents of your joint account to a Nigerian prince called Trust Me Good Man? Perhaps you bought diet pills on the internet that made you frightened to cough. Or maybe your exotic mail order bride turned out to be a Ukrainian pig farmer called Igor.
When the con is on, you need a man who's on it. Listen to the Radio Hustle with scam-busting supremo Alexis Conran and get the inside track on all the latest swindles, schemes, tricks and traps the fraudsters are using to get their hands on your cash.
Get tipped off, not ripped off. The Radio Hustle with Alexis Conran, enemy of the con man.
Saturday afternoon from 1 on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Bob Mills
on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Check it up, check it out, checking in, check it up, checking in, check it out, check it over. Check it up, checking in, check it out, check it over. Food over, the sun shall wash it over. Yep, no, don't work. It doesn't work. Don't even try it. So, tomorrow is National Pun Day, and that's the Comedy Festival. They have the Pun Championships, and did she win last year? Did Sam win last year? She was a finalist. She's a finalist this year. So it's tonight. So I thought National Pun Day was tomorrow. Oh, it's today, National Pun Day. When was National Sandwich Day? Is that today? I thought National Sandwich Day was today, National Pun Day was tomorrow. It normally goes, in my diary, it's always gone BAFTA, pun, sandwich. But they've done it differently. Okay, fine. Samantha, hello.
Hello.
How are you? You all right?
I like that you diarise Pun Day and Sandwich Day.
I do diarise. Mind you, you ever look through your diary, you're doing your dates, you think, and you look through your diary, and you suddenly think, why did I need to know? Why have they bothered putting that in?
Yeah.
National Day in Lesotho. Well, good luck to them. They'll have a lovely time. But really? My local pet shop diary has decided I need to know. So I suppose they make them all generically and then put the covers on the front, don't they? That's what it is.
Yeah, it's easier, isn't it? Well, anyway, it's Pun Day today. Yay!
And you're in the final tonight.
I am in the final this very evening.
Where is it? What venue is it at?
It's Leicester at De Montfort Hall.
Whoa, the big one.
The big one.
And
all the puns.
Now, you don't want to give anything away, so I'm not going to ask you what you're going to be doing tonight, because obviously you want to keep that. But my favourite pun, I've done a thing with Izzy Lawrence at the British Library, about Victorian humour. And the Victorians were the greatest at this. And I did put it out earlier, my favourite pun. At what point of the day would you have a vegetable timepiece?
I don't know.
When you get up at 8 o'clock.
Very good.
It don't get any better than that. And that's from something like 1872 or something, from a magazine. It doesn't get any better than that, does it?
Well, that's what I'm aiming for. I don't know if I'll be able to reach those.
Do you know who else is in the final? I mean, I'm saying we've been trying to get hold of Tony Cowards, but he's on the road. Maybe he's on his way to Leicester. Do you know who else is in the final?
I don't think Tony's in the final this year. Yeah, there's lots of other male comedians in the final. I'm the only woman in the history of the UK Pun Championships to perform in the final.
Well, this is what you're up against based on last year.
Okay.
I've got a joke about a fat badger, but it wouldn't fit into my set.
Very good.
I love playing PGA golf, but to say I have a weak shot on the greens would be putting it mildly. What's the difference between a hippo and a Zippo? One is really heavy and the other is a little lighter.
There
you go. You were already in there. You were so is that the kind of standard? Now, here's the thing about puns.
Yes.
I love puns. But if I sat down, in fact, I did once sit down when I did the thing with Izzy Lawrence, Victoria. She said, if you've got any, and I said, yeah, I'll come up with some. Well, I sat for 7 or 8 hours, probably, and I thought, no, you can't come up with them. They either arrive and you think, ah, that was funny, that was a pun, accidentally. But the thought of actually manufacturing them, like you would manufacture any other sort of gag piece of material, it was, I found it really, really difficult. Where do you start?
Yeah. Well, we've been given, for the final, we've been given 20 subjects.
Right.
And we have to write 5 puns on each. So I've written 100 puns. And I've actually been on honeymoon in Thailand, so I've been doing it on a beach, which has been quite nice. But what I start with is I normally just brainstorm words around the topic.
Right.
And some things will come up with that. But I love history and science as well. So one of my comedy shows are all about science.
Yeah.
So one of the ways I write is I look up facts about things. And normally that kind of inspires some jokes. So if I get a bit stuck, I normally look up some facts.
So you start at the back. I know when you talk, whenever I've spoken to Milton and on Tim Vine, they always say they start at the end. They think, wouldn't it be lovely if I could somehow get this word and this word?
And
then they work backwards from there. Yeah, I guess.
And then you try and make it clear with the setup. Yeah.
Again, I'd say I'm not going to ask you what you're going to do tonight because that is you really don't want to. But what's your of the ones that you're not doing?
Okay.
What are your favourite ones?
Oh, let me think. Well, because I'm quite into science, I've got a sciencey one, which is, it turns out a quark is a building block of particles, not just a posh duck.
That's very good.
Quark, quark.
Yeah, no, you didn't have to do that noise.
I love doing the impressions, though. I'm an actor, any chance.
Yeah.
I like that one. I'm just trying to think of other ones.
It's Colin Chadwick's from last year. I work in a paper factory where my responsibilities are twofold.
Very good.
What was the one that is? I'm trying to remember. There used to be one that was knocking about. It's not really. No, it's not actually. I just saw Paper Factory, and it reminded me of Noel James' beautiful old joke, which is I worked in the National Library of Wales for some years until the Great Flood, and then I worked in the National Papier-Mâché Centre.
Very good. Darren Walsh does a brilliant pun, says, my cat is currently recovering from a massive stroke.
Which
is a very good one. That won the Dave Pun Festival competition in Edinburgh 1 year.
Because that's all it is. It sounds as all you need is a word with two meanings.
Yes.
That's all you need.
Or breaking up a word into a couple of words is quite trendy at the moment.
Yes, using portmanteau. Yes.
Yes.
Oh, so the word of punnery is schismed now. You have the portmanteaus.
Oh yes. Oh yeah.
Oh yes. So the portmanteaus. I'm a traditionalist. And then what's a word that means two different things? Is that a cinnamon or a honamin or not cinnamon, Bob? That's something you have in a bun.
Something you had for breakfast.
Yeah, Nigel Lovell's. I was watching television the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And all they were showing were programs about ferries and seagulls. Seriously, avoid the English Channel.
I think he's in the final again.
Is he?
Ooh. Yeah. Watch out for him.
Yeah, he's a tough one.
Television based puns. I'll just turn over. No, it should be a little fun. I think it's quite nice because puns don't normally get a sort of a lot of time. People sort of groan at them or say, oh, you know, it's not like proper jokes. And it's actually lovely to have an evening where we can all just celebrate them and be like, yeah, a groan's as good as a laugh. There's another great night actually in London called Pun Run, which is a similar thing. People come and they just tell puns, and it's for an audience of people who appreciate the wordplay of a pun. So it should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it.
I found out the Great British Bake Off was competitive. I wonder why they don't call it Game of Scones. Ooh, that's Colin Chadwick. And Roger Swift. King Richard III was obsessed with fish. That was why he said to one of his servants, I want to be buried under a carp. Hark! That's a bit... sometimes you just think, no, it's got to be simpler than that. And you know what I mean? Sometimes you think, yes, I appreciate the cleverness of it, but really, come on. If I have to think about it for longer than 3 or 4 seconds, it ain't working.
Well, we get to say 3 puns in each round. So I've tried to mix it up a little bit with ones that are sort of very straightforward and quite, you know, you get it straight away, and then ones that are a little bit, you have to think for maybe a second or two. Just, you know, get our brains working.
So what time's kickoff tonight?
I think it's about 8 p.m.
And it's very, the one thing I know about these things, I've been at one of them, they're very fast moving. It's bang, yeah, bang, bang, then you bang, 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 and then you're out, and then bang, bang, and they sort of do it like that, don't they?
Yeah. So I might just get to say 3 puns, and then that'll be it.
No.
Fingers crossed.
No.
Yeah.
How many are there? About 10 or 15 of you?
There's 8.
Well, I promise you this. Eight, I promise you that of those 8... Sam, you are the wee, at least 4 of them are chaff. Honestly.
Do you think?
Yeah, don't worry about that. You'll definitely be in the last 4. And hopefully, and I'm saying this because you're here and the others aren't, hopefully yeah, you come out on top. But we'll find out tomorrow and we'll announce it tomorrow. We've got a section in the show, I think, cordoned off for the big announcement.
Wonderful.
Yeah. We're not bothering with the BAFTAs today. We're saving it all for the pun people tomorrow.
It's much better, isn't it? People care about puns more than BAFTAs, I think.
Lovely talking to you and have a great time tonight.
Thanks so much.
Thanks. Cheers.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
We are Talk.
Talk Radio. Give it some lip.
Do you dream of being part of a more exciting fleet?
Where to, mate?
Spending your spare time with an interesting new crew. If you've got ambitions that go beyond the everyday, listen to the Paul Russ Full Set Breakfast on Talk Radio and learn more about serving in the Royal Navy Reserve. Develop new skills, expand your horizons, and experience challenges and opportunities you won't find in your day job. The Paul Russ Full Set Breakfast tomorrow morning from 6 on Talk Radio. Don't do the everyday every day. Search Royal Navy Reserve.
Jimmy Steak for 2.
I'm doing tea tonight. Me and Dad share all the cooking since he and my mum went their separate ways. I popped into Tesco on the way home, picked up a couple of their finest steaks, a sprinkling of thyme, a splash of olive oil, and pan fry them. We normally do it with garlic. Not tonight, though. And I'm cooking dinner for 2, alright, but that's so he can get ready. He's got a date, hasn't he? First in a while. So I'm giving the garlic a miss. If you know what I mean.
Find Jimmy's Steak for 2 recipe with or without garlic. In store and online. Food Love Stories. Brought to you by Tesco.
What a bargain!
It's a song!
Saving us over 95 quid!
All we did was collect tens of Kazan.
I think that was... Collect 10 tokens inside the sun and get 2 free tickets to Chessington World of Adventures Resort. Start collecting today.
Attention! To celebrate the new series of Combat Dealers, Quest and Juson are giving you the chance to win a whopping £10,000 cash, plus incredible tent driving experiences for the runners-up. And to see what treasures military antiques expert Bruce Crompton and his team discover, don't miss Combat Dealers, Tuesdays at 9 p.m, only on Quest. For your chance to win £10,000, enter the free cash prize draw at juicenquest.co.uk. Terms and conditions apply. At ease...
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
Stokes A500D Road is currently closed southbound because of an accident just after the Basford roundabout where it joins with the A53. So severe delays on the D Road as a result of that. There's queues for the M1 North near Leicester, 20 to 21 on the northbound M1. 2 lanes are closed for emergency repairs. The Londonbound M1's busy because of a breakdown as you head down towards Junction 6A for the M25. And Lincolnshire's northbound A1 in Colsterworth now confirmed as closed between the Woolsthorpe and the Skillington turns. Congestion back towards the Colsterworth South Junction. I'm Joanna Adams.
Can the new Ford Cougar please both head and heart? Its imposing appearance, the distinctive dual-bar grille, the sumptuous heated steering wheel, the luxurious Salerno leather seats, the of the door. And you get £500 off when you test drive any new Ford. Can you please both head and heart? It looks like you can. For more information, visit your nearest Ford dealership. Ford. Go further.
Test drive a new Ford vehicle between the 1st and 28th of February and save an extra £500, including VAT, off the on-the-road price of a new Ford vehicle. Contracted and registered between the 1st and 28th of February. Excludes Car Plus, Focus RS and Mustang models. Retail customers only at participating dealers.
Every weeknight from 10 p.m., take a far-out trip into the twilight zone of late-night radio with Ian Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Unmissable late-night radio with the original king of unconventional conversation.
Ian Lee on air and off the leash.
My name's Ian Lee. I'm on at 10 o'clock at night, 10 till 1. It's going to be awesome.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Make contact with Ian Lee.
Late night Ian Lee. Tonight from 10 on Talk Radio.
He is our friend.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Bob Mills
on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Hiya, this is Bob Mills. Thank you for sticking with me. It's Bob Mills in for John Holmes on the John Holmes Show. You can call on 03444991000. You can text the word talk in your message to 87222. Or you can tweet at Talk Radio. The Veterans Aid organisation, which helped John, who we spoke to earlier, and is now, he's got him sorted, got him on some courses in a hostel, and he's now got himself a job up in Derbyshire, back in the business of making wooden boats. God bless him for that. They are at www.veterans-aid.net. Is that a hyphen? Veterans-aid.net. Or you can tweet them at Veterans Aid UK, or they've got a phone number. I'll just, it's 0800 012 6867. I'll just give you that one. That's the free phone number. But I would go on the website, www.veterans-aid.net. Have a look what they do, and they must, they'll probably have a bit on there for donations. So if you feel like it, that's up to you. Izzy Lawrence.
Hello.
Hello, Izzy Lawrence. How are you? All right. I just saw your name on the screen.
Thank you. There you go.
Thank you so much for joining us. When I'm sitting in for John Holmes, and they said, "Oh, we're doing a bit on the Leicester Festival pun thing."
Yes.
So we spoke to Sandy, who's in it, and who did we speak to? Tell me, Samantha. Sorry, not Sandy. Sambane, who's in it. But I was reminded, of course, of the greatest pun ever in the history of the world. And this isn't part of a competition. This isn't, oh, what do you think? This is a fact. When, at what point of the day would you be in possession of a vegetable timepiece?
Well, no, that one. I can't remember that one now. I thought the best one was what would a conversational goose say to, what vegetable would a conversational goose allude to were you trying to kill it? One's, I think, the best one.
Right, I'll do mine again and then you do yours. At what point in the day would you be in possession of a vegetable timepiece when you got a potato clock?
Nice.
But what was your one? I remember this one from that night.
I can better phrase it. Right. If you were going to kill a conversational goose, what vegetable would she allude to?
Go on.
Ah, asparagus. Asparagus. Now, that is from a book by Hugh Rowley called Punania, P-U-N-I-A-N-A.
Right.
Or Thoughts and Wise Otherwise, which was published in London in 1867.
Right. This is the point I've been making today. We think of puns and we go back to... We sometimes confuse puns and double entendres, and we go back to the cheeky comedy of the late 50s and 60s and the carry-ons and things like that. But it goes so far back. And I believe the reason for this is that Victorian society was a very schismatic society, in that you had a huge group of people who were so poor and had no education, couldn't read and write. But even the simplest education, like the farm schools out in the country, taught classics and Latin and Greek and French. You had a smattering. And so the most important thing to the Victorians was words.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think, and also remember, the beauty of puns is they're very quick. And you have to imagine a Victorian music hall, which is where you'd go instead of your comedy clubs these days. You go down the music hall and, you know, headliners only get sort of 8 to 15 minutes most.
Yeah.
And so the most jokes you can cram into that, the better. So a lot of them use puns.
Have you got that book with you?
I haven't got the whole book with me. I've got a few examples
of
different Victorian puns. All of these, I have to say, are found by a chap called Dr. Bob Nicholson at Edge Hill University. And if you go on Twitter and look under the hashtag Victorian jokes, you can see a lot of these yourself. So they're really good. For example, let's go with, why does a hen lay an egg?
Why does a hen lay an egg? Go on.
Because she can't lay a brick. Hey!
You see? Now, I don't care. I don't care how big your house is. That's a funny joke. And it was as funny then as it is now. So you're right. Of course, that was the main reason. On the halls, when you know, Little Titch and George Robey and Mary Lloyd were on the halls, they had no time for. Imagine if you'd have gone out on the halls back then, where they basically there is a section of their concentration which is on the stage, but they've got booze to buy, they've got prostitutes patrolling, they've got all sorts of
stuff going, opium,
all sorts going. Imagine if you'd have gone on and said, "Oh, ladies and gentlemen, met this really fascinating guy today on the train, and he was so shoo, no." You had to.
But also, they used to print them in all the papers and stuff. So, you know, they had, where we have, like, the cartoons, the horoscopes now, they'd have jokes. And the jokes would start off, like, in America, and you actually get American jokes coming over to the UK as well. So it was a sort of, it was like Twitter before Twitter.
Twitter before people stopped talking to each other.
Some of them were awful, though. Here's an example of another. What is the difference between stabbing a man and killing a hog?
Go on.
One is assaulting with the intent to kill, the other is killing with the intent to assault.
There you see.
It is painful. It is painful.
But perfectly reasonable. And you'd get them with that. You come on, you do 2 minutes and then bang, bang, bang. And then, of course, when you've got their attention, then you can do, "Oh, my mate's a legend. He was walking down the road here," and do what the comics today do. Tell the long,
indeed,
the long drawn out stories. What are you up to, Izzy Lawrence? Why aren't you up in Leicester doing the pun competition?
Oh, I've been doing all sorts of history shows recently. So I've been doing history shows at the British Museum, which are only there for members, but never mind. I've also been doing some podcasts. If you're into your history, I'm your girl. So I've got the British Museum Membercast, which is a podcast available on iTunes and all other podcast platforms. And also the Z-List Deadlist, which is about obscure people from history, which I must get you on, Bob.
I've done the Z-List Deadlist.
You have done it, but I haven't interviewed you for the podcast.
Oh, no, not for the podcast. For those of you who don't know, and for those of you who think, and listen, don't mistake anything that I'm about to say as criticism, but for those of you who think that the world of British comedy begins and ends with Michael McIntyre and John Bishop and Jack Whitehall and the Carr Brothers, it doesn't, all right? They are wonderful and they do what they do. And there are comedy clubs where you can see brilliant comedy, but there is also a kind of an underlife, a society of people who do weird things, wonderful weird things, like the set list and things like that. And Izzy Lawrence's Z-List Deadlist is a comedy club. You go, you pay your money, you sit in a comedy club, and what you get is comedians, not all comedians, some historians and different people. And what they do is not their jokes that you've seen them do. They tell you about a person who is dead, who you probably have never heard of, but they believe should be better known. It's as simple as that. And they are the funniest, wittiest evenings that you can ever hope to attend. What, for a couple of quid, isn't it? A couple of quid.
Yeah, a couple of quid.
Do you remember who I did when I did it?
You did Richard Munslow, didn't you?
I've done it twice. I did Richard Munslow, who was the last sin eater in this country, the last professional sin eater. That when people died before having received absolution, they would put a meal on their bodies and he would eat it and therefore take his sins into them. And I also did George Huskisson.
Oh, yes, George Huskisson, which kind of tailed off into a long story about Napoleon and then went back to George Huskisson at the end. It was very good.
Because that is, surely that is the epitome of, really, you had one job, George. You had one job. You'd worked so hard organising the railways. All you had to do was organise the opening day of the Liverpool to Manchester Railway. That's all you had to do, and yet you chose to get run over by a train.
And if you want to hear the full story of that, go to zlistdeadlist.com. Or you could find it on izzy.com, which is ISZI.com, which is me. But there we go.
You've been training today?
Training? Mm. As in
cage fighting, beating people up.
Yeah, well, I'm doing jiu-jitsu tonight. Yeah, I've just come from the gym. I'm going to jiu-jitsu. I'm well buffed these days. And I actually started doing jiu-jitsu because I heard about Edith Garrod, who was one of the suffragettes, on my podcast, Edith Garrod, and she used to beat up policemen. She was trained in jiu-jitsu, and all the suffragettes used to be trained in martial arts. And you don't see that in the stories. You only hear about them, you know, starving themselves and getting run over by horses. No, they kicked ass. They used to throw policemen over the fences.
Izzy Lawrence, and with that message to all young women out there, get yourself physically trained up, because it's a tough old world and you want to be in charge of it. Thank you so much, darling, for talking to us. We'll put your websites out. They'll be on there. There'll be Z-List, Deadlisted, and more when we come back after the break.
Talk Radio. 24-hour radio debate and entertainment.
Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
Don't do the every day on Talk Radio with the Royal Navy Reserve. Every Friday morning on the Paul Russ Full Set Breakfast, find out what happens when you push an ordinary radio producer from the West Midlands to the limit.
Join me, breakfast show producer Alex, as I step into the unknown and experience what the everyday can't.
Find out where being a Royal Navy Reservist takes him. Don't do the every day on Talk Radio with the Royal Navy Reserve. Search Royal Navy Reserve.
With Sky Bet, great just got greater. Introducing the all-new Cash Out Boost. Turbocharge your winnings with a chance to win a cash bonus when you cash out your bet. We could make £40 into £48, £20 into £30, and £25 into £50. With Cash Out Boost from Sky Bet, why cash out anywhere else? Sky Bet, that's betting better. 18+, gambleaware.co.uk. Eligibility restrictions and T's and C's apply. Max cash out boost to the value of £50. Amounts will vary. When the fun stops, stop.
We've got it at Selco. Selco, it's where the trade go.
At Selco Builders Warehouse, we've got real deals on a wide range of trade quality building products. In February, we've got an 8x4 foot sheet of 100mm Enertherm pitched roof insulation for only £25.99. Now that's a real deal. See selcobw.com for even more real deals and to find your nearest branch.
We've got it at Selco. Selco, it's where the trade go.
Divorce. It threatens the things you've worked hard for in more ways than you can imagine. Your home, savings, pension, and most of all, your relationship with your children. Don't let divorce cost you any more than it has to. Cordell & Cordell is dedicated to helping men in matters relating to divorce. Call now on 0330 6060 161 or visit cordellcordell.co.uk. Office in central London. A partner men can count on.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A radio star is born.
You're going to love
Talk Radio. Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Bob Mills for John Holmes. We're entering the third hour and we're going to do that in the very safe hands of Victoria Bourne.
Thanks, Bob. Coming up, Truss attacks Labour on prisons, 4 dead in avalanche, and Brits do badly at the BAFTAs.
Talk Radio.
Labour is calling on the Justice Secretary to take responsibility for the prison crisis. Campaigners say overcrowded jails are putting lives at risk, but Liz Truss says the number of inmates in England and Wales can't be cut with dangerous quick-fix solutions. During a speech this afternoon, she attacked Jeremy Corbyn's party.
In a bid to ease the crisis, Labour introduced the end of custody licence scheme. Over 3 years, 82,000 prisoners were released early. The net result? An extra 1,500 crimes reported, and a prison population 3,000 higher than when the scheme had started.
At least four people have been killed and five are missing after an avalanche in the French Alps. Eight holidaymakers and a guide are skiing off-piste in the resort of Tien. The avalanche risk in the area is listed as 3 out of 5, meaning there should be little danger of a spontaneous large-scale disaster. Nearly 200,000 people who live near America's tallest dam have been told to leave their homes over fears it could fail and unleash torrential waters. It's because the emergency spillway in Oroville in Northern California is severely corroded. Authorities are releasing water as they continue to order people away from the area. Sheriff Corey Honey says residents will be looked after.
I recognize how tough this situation is on people. I recognize that we've had to displace a lot of people, but we needed to do that to ensure the public safety. That's the most important thing. That's the thing that we will continue to focus on going forward.
For the first time ever, pensioners are earning more than working age people. A study by the Resolution Foundation says their incomes have grown by more than 30% since 2001. And Britain has suffered its worst performance at the BAFTA Awards in a decade. Despite being hosted here, British talent won just 6 of the 25 honours up for grabs. That's down from 10 last year. The most high-profile win was Dev Patel in the Best Supporting Actor category for his role in Lion.
Talk Radio National Weather.
Cold, windy and sunny in the south and west, cloudy in the northeast with highs of 10 degrees.
That was nice. What was the weather in London? Sorry?
I haven't got specifically London, but we're in the south.
Looks nice, so looks nice and bright, doesn't
cold
it?
Cold and bright, yeah.
So you have snow? I just think it'd be nice this week to have snow when the kids are on half term.
Okay,
to do.
I will check for 5:30 about snow.
We got sport. Who's doing the sport?
It's Ben Fletcher still.
Ben Fletcher
till
still.
Till 7,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, Ben Fletcher still?
Yeah.
Is he a friend of Ben Fletcher's? Is he Ben Fletcher's posh friend?
It's not
over to Ben. Over to Ben Fletcher still. All right, let's have the sport with Ben.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
I'm Ben Fletcher. Good afternoon. England's new Test cricket captain is Joe Root. The 26-year-old succeeds Alistair Cook, who stepped down last week. He's been Cook's vice-captain since May last year. He'll have 5 months to prepare for his first Test in charge against South Africa at Lord's on July the 6th. On to tonight's action. Bournemouth aim to end a run of 5 Premier League games without a win at home to Manchester City. They're just 6 points above the relegation zone, facing a City side who are 5th in the table with 3 top-flight wins in a row. Cherries boss Eddie Howe won't be making any rash changes to his side's style of play.
We've been in this position before. It's nothing new for us. When we first came into the Championship, we took some heavy blows and we responded in the only way that we know, and that's to improve, and that'll be the same again.
Finally, Manny Pacquiao's next opponent will apparently be decided on Twitter. The WBO World Welterweight Champions asked fans to vote on who he should face in his next bout, which he says will be held in the UAE. That's the latest sports news powered by TalkSport.
Talk Radio. Turn up the trouble on the radio show that doesn't take itself too seriously.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Bob Mills
on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Hiya, thank you for sticking with me. We're in the third and final hour of the John Holmes Show with me, Bob Mills. John's taking some time with his family because it's half term. So we've done sandwiches and we've done puns and we're going to do BAFTAs in this bit. But going back to the sandwich, of course, the sandwich is an eponymous food like the beef Wellington. And it's named after the Earl of Sandwich, the fourth Earl of Sandwich, who used to gamble at cards and dice and whatever, and didn't like to take breaks. And so he would just say to his bring me some meat and just put some bread on it so I can just hold it in my hand and carry on gambling while I'm eating. And hence was born the sandwich. It's different. And this is a weird thing about sandwich. He has two things named after him. A lot of people have got things named after him. But the sandwich is named after the fourth Earl of Sandwich, as indeed are the Sandwich Isles, which were Captain Cook named after the Earl of Sandwich. And yet is one of the most harangued and disrespected official people ever, parliamentarians. Apparently when he died, the epitaph he was given by someone in Parliament, so people reading, saying things about him. Seldom has any man held so many high office and yet accomplished so little. All he's really famous for is that little epigram, which I always thought was from Oscar Wilde or something, but apparently it's the Earl of Sandwich. In a famous exchange with the actor Samuel Foote, Sandwich declared, "Foote, I've often wondered what catastrophe would bring you to your end, but I think you must either die of the pox or the gallows." "My lord," replied Foote instantaneously, "that will depend upon one of two contingencies, whether I embrace your lordship's mistress or your lordship's principles." There you go. So that was all he was famous for. He didn't do anything. He had loads of... He was treasury and naval. He was like... You know, you get them now, don't you? You get people who've been in government for years and years and years, different things. And he was one of them, but basically achieved nothing except when you eat a sandwich, his name lives on forever. Or if you visit the sandwich aisle, his name lives on forever. Now, last night at the... Was it the Royal Albert Hall? It was at the Royal Albert Hall.
It was, yeah.
Oh, dear me. The Loveys descended and they had the BAFTAs, the British Academy of Film and Television Arts. Do you know if you're nominated for a BAFTA? Why are you hovering? Are you staying or are you going?
I'm going.
Why do you need to go? Do you need to handle the phone call?
Well, no, you've got the person on there.
Well, it doesn't matter. Sit there. No, sit. I don't like people hovering in and out. If you're nominated for a British Academy of Film and Television Arts, you become a member of the British Academy. You become a member anyway, but if you're nominated, you become a voting member. So there have been periods in my life where I've been one of the people making these decisions.
May I ask you a question?
Yes, you may ask me a question, Martha.
Why did you get nominated for a BAFTA? What was the work that you did?
Even in your lovely Spanish accent, you're finding it hard to keep the contempt out of that question.
It's not why on earth. It's like, so what was the outstanding job that you did?
Got nominated as a producer of a motion picture starring Julie Walters. Julie Walters won the BAFTA that year for her performance in the film.
I'm a big fan of Julie Walters.
It was a film starring her, Paul Reiser, George Wendt-Cheers, and Olympia Dukakis, mm-hmm. and Tony Maudsley out of Benidorm. And I was the producer of it, and I was nominated, and it was nominated as Best Film, and it didn't win.
Well, you got nominated.
But Julie did win.
She's great.
Yes. So that was why I have my nomination. Who are we talking to, by the way?
Talking to Gemma Forte, who is a writer, presenter. It's in your running order, Bob. And also, she was a BAFTA hostess last night. So she's got all of the gossip and all of the details of last night's ceremony.
And how did you describe her second name, Gemma?
Forte. Wow, you've... Stop making fun of me.
I'm not making fun of you. Oh, sorry, that's making fun. I thought it was helping. But OK. Gemma, are you there?
I am. Hello.
Am I right in Forte?
Yeah, Forte. That's
yeah, okay. Gemma Forte. That's
I apologise then.
No, you don't have to apologise.
That's OK. Don't worry. Usually people say sport. I'm used to it. It's fine.
Really? You still have that? Gemma?
Yeah, a bit.
Gemma Forte. So, Gemma, you were there last night.
I was.
You're working backstage in the general organisation of it. What is it?
Well, sort of, yes.
I'm
the hostess, so I drag them on and off when they've won.
Right. Has it been at the Albert Hall before?
No, it hasn't. It was the first time at the Royal Albert Hall. Usually it's at the Royal Opera House in Covent Garden. Mm. And actually, it was lovely being at the Royal Albert Hall. It's so beautiful. And they had Cirque du Soleil, obviously, who've got a show in there at the moment. So they were able to do the opening and everything. So it was very good.
Yeah, I missed the opening. I was out gigging, but I came home and my wife was watching the sort of, I guess, on catch-up or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw a lot of the... I missed Tom Holland, unfortunately.
Right.
Who I love because his mum and dad... His dad's a great friend of mine. His dad's the comedian.
Oh.
Dominic Holland, the comedian, is his dad, so he's a great friend of mine. And I know that they were very, very nervous. And he was going to come and chat today, but they get so busy the day after, don't they? They
absolutely. And
away.
Probably, let's face it, quite hungover as well.
Whipped away.
So
how did it go as a night?
I think it was a good one, actually. I think I was thinking it might be... the tone might have been very sort of political, but actually it was nice. There were some earnest sort of interesting speeches, but but there was some levity as well. So it was a good mixture. Plus, there wasn't sort of one film that swept the board. I thought there was a nice smattering of awards to some of the big films, which was good to see.
Now, my daughter, who knows a lot more about these things than I do, she works in that sort of, she works in television, that sort of thing. But she said, oh, it's really good tonight because they've all come, all the Americans have come. They were all here. I don't think there was anyone. Now, apparently the reason for that is because some of them, because of the immigration, are planning on boycotting the Oscars.
Well, I don't know. There was a lot of references from Americans going on about how much of a kindred sort of, you know, affection they have for Great Britain, for the United Kingdom. A lot of sort of expressing how the United Kingdom must stay the way that it is. I think it was almost like they were a bit embarrassed about the recent press that their country has had for one reason or another. I think it's fair to say that most of the film world, most of those kinds of people are quite embarrassed of Trump at the moment and sort of care about what we think. So it wasn't the Brits talking politically. It was the Americans and saying how delighted they were to be here. Mel Brooks even going as far as saying he'd forgotten his passport because he never feels like he's actually going to a different country, like he's coming home kind of thing.
Well, what Mel Brooks actually said was, I forgot my passport, and then did the rest of his 10 minutes of his speech, and then as he was leaving said, oh, by the way, I've just remembered where I was. Bless his heart, but when you get to his age, you can ramble as much as you like.
Well, and he rambled really in a very eloquent, funny way, and he is 90. And apparently, also, he got the night flight in, which is enough to do any of it in, but also didn't sleep on the plane, just said, yeah, I'll watch movies. I'll just watch movies for 8 hours. Then got off the plane, went to the hotel, went to the pre-BAFTA party, and then came to the BAFTAs.
Bless his heart.
Which isn't bad for 90, is it?
The thing I found about the politicking is that I don't mind that. I'm inured against that, and I'm used to it. But there were points where they said what they seemed to be saying was, because of what's happening in the world, because of the terrible things that are happening in the world, and God knows there are some terrible things happening, you need us more than ever.
I think so, and I think
thank God we're here.
Well, there was a bit of that, like, yeah, we're, you know, lifesavers. But to an extent, I agree. I think La La Land has done so well because it is sheer escapism. Personally, I really felt quite uplifted by going to see that. And I do think that there is always going to be an appetite for entertainment. And yes, you know, you could say, well, it's a bit of a sort of shallow profession, but actually it does provide people with that, you know, escape for a couple of hours in a cinema. And so to a degree, I agree with them, really. And then Ken Loach, of course, was saying, actually, what is so needed now is for directors and writers and actors to sort of be telling the truth, to be, you know, representing what's going on through art, through film. And I would say that that's true as well. So it was quite an interesting time generally, isn't it? And I certainly think that was reflected in the awards last night.
So let's run through some of the highlights. We'll start from the top end, leading actress. So Emma Stone, you see, La La Land's a very good film. But I don't know that. No, I mean, this is just me talking. Obviously, you can never compare performances, but to compare Natalie Portman in Jackie and even Emily Blunt and Girl on the Train, although I thought she was a bit hysterical, but to compare those and even Amy Adams with Emma Stone in a musical, it's kind of a thankless task, isn't it?
I don't know. I think that, okay, so I can't act and I can't sing and I can't dance. But I think if somebody said to me, right, you've got to do Girl on the Train or you've got to do La La Land, which you're going to make less of an idiot of yourself at, bearing in mind I'd be terrible, all of it, I reckon I could try Girl on the Train more than I could try La La Land. Does that sort of make sense? So I think, in a way, sometimes, you know, these awards are given out for the misery roles, for the kind of very worthy roles. And I like the fact. I've always thought things like Meet the Parents should have got an Oscar. You know, it's brilliant. I think making people laugh is more difficult than making people cry.
Zoolander never got an Oscar?
No, maybe it should have done. But, you know, I don't know, there's some very clever films that have been made before and they don't get possibly the, a notice, attention that they maybe other films. I mean, Manchester by the Sea is brilliant, but I felt flat as a pancake for 2 days after seeing that.
Well, you see, this is the thing that it is always, and they say it in the BAFTAs and they say it in the Oscars, you'll always win for Worthy, won't you?
Yeah.
You'll
always
win for Suffering. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Die Hard's never going to get an Oscar and you know, things like that. But you'll always win for Depth and Darkness.
Yeah, a bit of misery and pain. And I do agree. I think Emily Blunt and The Girl on the Train was absolutely fantastic. But I do think Emma Stone, maybe it's because I've suffered lots of commercial castings myself in the past. And I really related to how hideous they are and how absolutely soul destroying. So I sat there and thought, God, she's doing that well. I don't know.
Casey
out of tune as well.
Casey looked still very much in role, didn't he?
What's he filming then? I don't know. He had a big bushy beard.
Yeah, he looked but he looked, he still looked like, you know, this is, it's a deep film, it's a heavy film, and I'm a heavy guy. Yeah. He looked like he was making a conscious effort not to be his brother's brother that night.
Yes, maybe. I mean, who
Which
knows?
Is good.
I suppose
yeah.
It is massive shoes to follow in. He's, you know, as all of them are, he's so much smaller than he appears in that film, which always takes me by surprise, even though it's always the case. But yeah, I mean, what I will say about Emma Stone as well is when she came off stage, she was so emotional and so happy. And I always think that for me, you know, standing on the side of the stage, going to get these huge stars on and off, I always find it quite interesting and maybe reassuring that they, it really means a lot to them.
Who did you get on and off?
All of them.
You did them all?
I'm the bird in the black dress. Yeah, I'm the bird in the black dress.
So you were the one doing all of them. I thought maybe there were different people. You were allocated, but they said, no, you've got to get them all.
They all have. No, everybody at the BAFTAs, every celebrity is allocated a chaperone. So that's a load of people, and they all wear black dresses or suits, and everybody is given their name at the beginning, and they get briefed on them. They have to go meet them at the red carpet and look after them all day long. But I go on and off stage, so when they need a new BAFTA, I take the BAFTA on when they're showing a film.
And you have to check it's the right one.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, most of them come on with their envelopes, but a lot of them do what they call double awards. So there are five sets of presenters, if you like, and they'll do two awards. So then I go on and off with their new cards and their BAFTAs. And then, you know, basically, despite the fact they've watched the show and seen where everybody's going off, sometimes still towards the end of the show, they are just so overwhelmed by everything that's going on. They'll walk off in some strange direction. So then they get this mad woman going, excuse me, shouting at them, which is me, and then dragging them. Well, not dragging, but, you know, helping them off. And then sometimes you get more elderly, like Isabelle Huppert. She needed a hand down the stairs last night because she's, you know, a little more fragile, possibly.
Did she look well, though, bless her, didn't she?
She's beautiful. I mean, she's obviously French. How do they do it? Yeah. She's chic and really stunning.
You see, this is fascinating for me because I have no idea. Because I was up there, when I was up for me Oscar. Have we got to go for a break? 1 minute. When I was up for me Oscar, I was sitting in the front, but I was thinking, oh, I wish I'd love to know what it's like back there. I tell you what I did, which was a terrible thing. Me and my mate were up for it jointly, nominated together, and he'd bought new glasses, and they weren't sitting very comfortable on the bridge of his nose. And when the camera was on him, I was sitting next to him, and they said the name of the winner, at which point he'd just unfortunately pinched his nose where his new glasses were hurting. And so when they said the name of the winner, it wasn't him. I smiled and clapped, but he grimaced in pain.
Oh, no, yeah, it's the gutted face.
Really?
That's an awkward thing, isn't it, with the camera shoved in your face?
Because what happens, of course, is that the people, they're so professional, the people who haven't won are smiling and applauding, but the people just to the right and left of them are going, you're having a laugh, aren't you?
Right.
Why didn't they pick you? And they're like, shut up, you're on camera.
Yeah.
So we've got to go for a break. And then what's happening then? Can we chat a bit more?
You can keep her a little bit more if Gemma's happy to stay, yeah?
Don't call her.
What?
I can do about another 5-10 minutes.
Right, we'll have a little quick break and then we'll come back. There's two other things I want to ask you, very important.
Talk radio. Listen. Phone. Talk.
Talk radio.
We'll get you talking.
Do you dream of being part of a more exciting fleet?
Where to, mate?
Spending your spare time with an interesting new crew? If you've got ambitions that go beyond the everyday, listen to the Paul Russ Full Set Breakfast on Talk Radio and learn more about serving in the Royal Navy Reserve. Develop new skills, expand your horizons, and experience challenges and opportunities you won't find in your day job. The Paul Russ Full Set Breakfast tomorrow morning from 6 on Talk Radio. Don't do the everyday, every day. Search Royal Navy Reserve.
A new Vauxhall Vivaro comes with 4 years 0% APR representative, up to 4 years warranty, and 4 years servicing and roadside assistance. It's easy to drive, easy on the wallet, and even easier on the eye. That leaves you free to do more of what you do best. Less getting the van sorted, more getting the job done. Search Vauxhall Vivaro. Conditional sale. 4 years 0% APR representative. Minimum 20% deposit plus VAT at 20% on total price. Financed by Vauxhall Finance. Subject to status 18+. T's and C's. Mileage limitations and exclusions apply.
With Sky Bet, great just got greater. Introducing the all-new Cash Out Boost. Turbocharge your winnings with a chance to win a cash bonus when you cash out your bet. We could make £40 into £48, £20 into £30, and £25 into £50. With Cash Out Boost from Sky Bet, why cash out anywhere else? Sky Bet, that's betting better. 18+, gambleaware.co.uk. Eligibility restrictions and T's and C's apply. Max cash out boost to the value of £50. Amounts will vary. When the fun stops, stop.
By the time Adam has screwed that socket back on the wall, by the time Sam has tightened that tap, or Jim has finished packing up his tools, their click and collect orders from Screwfix will be ready. With Screwfix Click and Collect, you can check stock online at screwfix.com, order, and thousands of trade products are ready to pick up in as little as 1 minute from any of our 500 stores nationwide. Screwfix Click and Collect, in as little as 1 minute.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
There's delays through Stoke-on-Trent for both sides of the A500D road, which is closed at the Basford roundabout in both directions after an accident. So severe delays for the A500. The northbound M1 near Leicester is very busy. Between junctions 20 and 21, two lanes are closed for emergency repairs. And a couple of problems in Lincolnshire. The Crowland bypass is closed both ways after a serious accident. That's the A16. And the northbound A1 away from Colsterworth up towards Woolsthorpe is closed after a serious accident involving two lorries. I'm Jarena Adams.
It's louder than rock versus metal, more dramatic than parents versus teenagers, and more historic than Athens versus Sparta. It's the rivalry to end all rivalries, the showdown to end all showdowns. It's epic savings on car insurance versus epic savings on energy bills. Go to Money Supermarket to see where you could save most. Britain, you're so Money Supermarket.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Mid-mornings with Julia Hartley Brewer. Join the titanium lady of Talk Radio for 3 hours of provocative discussion, intelligent analysis and fearless comment.
Mid-mornings with me, Julia Hartley Brewer. Your one-stop shop for debate about the stories that everyone's talking about. No nonsense, no prisoners, no substitutes.
Get both barrels from Judge Jules.
Julia Hartley Brewer, tomorrow morning from 10.
On your all-new speech station, Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Bob Mills
on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Hi, thank you for joining me back, and thank you, Gemma Forte, who stayed with us. Gemma, I'm sorry to get you hanging on that, but there are two things I wanted to know.
Yeah.
What was... I was fascinated. So you know just beforehand, do you know who's won then, if you're bringing the BAFTA?
No.
You don't know who's won?
No, nobody does.
Tell
nobody
me the does. Truth, because it's finished now. It's not going to
matter. No, genuinely, the only people do are a very small handful of people,
right,
at BAFTA and maybe the executive producer, and that's it.
Right, but this is what I was going to ask you. Were there any, when you're standing there, because, you know, you're standing there, and they're, were there any of them that you thought, oh, no, really? Oh, I was really hoping the other.
Then
you thought, I wanted somebody else to win. I desperately wanted this person to win, and you've won.
I don't know. I probably have had that because I've been doing it for a few years now. So if I'm honest, I probably have had that a couple of times.
But you control it. You don't let it show in your face. It's not like
no,
you go
I don't
on.
Go, oh, for God's
You didn't go on and grab them and go, come on, mate, you've had your moment. No, no, you don't do it like that.
Very polite. No, I must say, last year, when Leonardo DiCaprio was up for The Revenant, which wasn't particularly my favourite film of his, but that was quite incredible because at that point he hadn't even won the Oscar yet, and he'd never won, like, a big Best Actor award, which is amazing, really. Mm. So it was really, really cool watching him get that, and he was an absolute... He was elated afterwards. He was shaking. So, like I say, what's quite nice is seeing that all these people that you assume might be quite kind of cool about it, they're not really. They're now, very, very happy to win.
The other question is this. Did Stephen stay on stage for the entire thing? And he seemed to be there all the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah, he does. He doesn't have a break. So, you know, I mean, it's, what, 3 hours it takes to film it because it goes out live a little bit later on.
Yeah.
There's a lovely lady called Mel sitting in a van, cutting it all down, trying to shorten some of the speeches and get rid of a few of them. So, he's there. So I'd imagine he has definitely goes blue before and gets on with it.
That's what I was thinking because I've done award ceremonies and you think an hour is going to... But he seemed to be there all the time, quite happily.
Yeah.
And when people were stepping back, he was sort of chatting and relaxed. I've just seen a little clip of it.
He seems to know them all anyway.
Yeah, so, well, that's it. Of course he does.
Chummy chum.
The princes and the actors. He knows everyone. I've just seen a little clip on them and I have to say... Nobody smiles and applauds other people's success better than Hugh Grant. He's a genius. What a wonderful man. We should give him an award every year just for being Hugh Grant.
Do you know what? He was quite funny when he came on, though, you know. He's very dry. Yeah. You always get this impression that he just doesn't care. It's quite funny.
Yeah.
And he got a really big, like, a quite sort of surprisingly big reaction as well. Quite a few wolf whistles. It was quite funny.
People are starting to realise the genius that we have in Hugh Grant. The greatest British actor since David Niven. Gemma, thank you much. Thanks so much for staying with us.
Thank you.
Lovely to talk to you. And thank you very much for bringing us the real taste of what it was like at the side, at the back, all around the BAFTAs.
Yeah,
thank you. Thank you, Gemma Forte.
Thank you. Cheers.
Okay, thank you for that. We'll do the Grammys afterwards. We might as well do two. We're doing one. We might as well do the other. See Beyonce, listen to Beyonce and what's her name? Adele.
Adele.
Oh, I shouldn't have won it. Well, give it to her then. There you go. Problem solved. But all that after the news from Victoria Bourne.
Talk Radio.
The Justice Secretary says cutting jail sentences to reduce the prison population in England and Wales would be a dangerous quick fix. She's been facing calls to reduce the number of inmates by 40,000. Liz Truss says it's right for wicked people who have committed serious crimes to spend longer behind bars.
It's certainly true that reoffending rates are too high and that our prisons are too violent, and I acknowledge that. But the wrong way to address that would be to shorten sentences or release offenders early. That would be reckless and it would endanger the public.
Rescuers are looking for survivors of an avalanche in France, which has killed 4 people. It happened this morning in the resort of Teens near the Italian border. A mother who left her newborn baby in a bin has been spared a prison sentence. Orsolia Anna Maria Ballo has been given a community order at Liverpool Crown Court after pleading guilty to attempted infanticide. The 27-year-old abandoned the child at a hospital in Wigan last July. Limits on alcohol are being brought in at the Cheltenham Festival. This year, visitors will only be allowed to buy 4 alcoholic drinks at a time, and there'll be water points in every public bar. And Joe Root has been confirmed as Alistair Cook's successor as England Test cricket captain. The Yorkshire batsman's first series in charge won't be until July when the team hosts South Africa. The weather, a cold night with some patchy frost for some, lows of 2 degrees. Tomorrow's going to be cloudy with some sunny spells in the north and southeast, with a band of rain and drizzle spreading in from the southwest. Feeling a little bit milder with highs of 11. There's more in half an hour. And if you want to know about snow, I've got that information.
Oh, super. We'll have that. Should we have that after the... Are we having sport now? Do we not have sport?
No, it's half past. I can tell you right now.
Tell me right now.
No snow.
Oh, but I saw pictures of snow on the telly this morning.
Yeah, that's in the past, isn't it?
So that was yesterday, it's snow.
Well, so over the weekend, there was some flurries.
But that would be miserable. If you're a kid and it's snowed at the weekend, you think, oh, lovely, I've got a week off school for half time. I'm going to do this. And you wake up and it's all gone.
Yeah, but they, you know, they had it at the weekend. If anything, Bob, it's going to get milder throughout the week. And we're in the southeast here in London, where it's going to be the driest. So
that,
even
that's even that music they play under us, that is the worst type of lift music, isn't it? Can you imagine working somewhere where they just played that all the time and you were on a on one of those things that, that what are they where the belt goes round and you know, assembly lines?
You go crazy.
Yeah, you would go absolutely mad. I used to work in the steam laundry at Chester and they used to play, they had a cassette tape with 11 songs on it. I was there nearly a year. And they just, these 11 songs used to just go round and round on a loop.
Didn't someone suggest changing the tape?
No, it wasn't like that back then. If you were lucky to have a job, the last thing you do was dare to complain to your bosses. You'd been out. And you'd been out, you'd have lost your home and everything, your kids, everything there. You didn't talk back to your bosses. It's not like now, where you walk into Talk Sport and, you know, start shouting the odds at people. This is very different. So this is what happened to me. Danny, we're going to speak to Danny Kelly. I'd like to tell this story more to Danny, actually, but I'll tell it to Victoria Bourne. What happened to me on Saturday?
What happened?
I'll tell you what happened. On Saturday morning, I'm not ashamed to say this, I work for a rival. Is someone waiting? Am I supposed to be doing something other than the... The trail can wait a second. Listen, I'm not... They know this. I work for the BBC. On a Saturday morning, I do a show for the BBC. A very good show. We turn up Saturday morning, right, 10 o'clock, we're having a cup of tea, and there's four of us chatting. We're going to do the show, so we're just coming out with ideas and chatting like I'm talking to you now. And at one point, I might have said, Carl, what do you think? And that was it. 40 yards away, an office door opens, a bloke with a beard walks out, stands in front of me, and shushes me.
What? You got shushed?
Shh.
How did you respond?
I said... So you turn to me? Yes, I'm sorry. We like to keep it quiet here. People are working. Oh, God. I'm 60 this year and someone shushed me. I have never been so angry in my life. I was angry all through Saturday night, Sunday. I calmed down about 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon. I was so angry. You don't shush people in this day and age, do you?
Well, that guy did. Did it make you quieten down a bit?
No, not at all. I livened up enormously. Oh, and that I laid into it. It all got a bit unpleasant after that. But no, don't. If you're in your job, never shush anyone. Right, we're going to have a break, and then we're going to talk to Danny Kelly. Thank you, Victoria Bourne. Very good. Very good bullying.
Thanks.
The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast. Tomorrow morning from 6 on Talk Radio.
Mornings can be tough. Sleep in the corner of your eyes, groggy, maybe even hungover. Well, the Full Set Breakfast will set you up for the whole day right here on Talk Radio with me, Paul Ross. Star guests, great news stories, the sport, the weather, everything you need to kickstart your day. We'll help you strain up under the bear of mornings.
The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast. Tomorrow morning from 6 on Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Bob Mills
on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
All right, that's one of the pieces of music that won't be featuring in the next section of the show. We'll do the Grammys. Now, on my screen, on my bit of tape, it says we're going to do it with Danny Kelly. Danny Kelly.
Yeah, your friend.
Danny, hello, Danny.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I'm all right, mate. Yeah, I'm fine. I'm sorry,
I'll try not to shush you, man. That won't go well.
Can you imagine that? A little fellow with a beard came and shushed me.
Oh, I'm surprised tables didn't go over, Bob.
Now, I didn't see the Grammys, but apparently the highlights were Jimmy Corden toppling and Adele. Adele being...
Bob, look, I didn't see it all over. You don't need to see it. If you just sit looking at Twitter, people who spend the rest of their time organising the world's economy, looking after broods of children and all kinds of responsible things, when there's a big award ceremony on, suddenly that's the most important thing in the world. from what I've gathered up from it, but they rang me half an hour ago and said, will you talk to Bob about the Grammys? I mean, honest to God, you've written a fair amount of comedy in your time. Some of it, let's be honest, funny. I think I know my way around a joke. If Chris Morris had sat down and tried to write a parody of a big award ceremony, this year's Grammys would have been absolutely it. It was absolutely nuts. I mean, James Corden doing a rehearsed fall down the stairs was just the start of a whole lot of... Well, it's just nonsense, isn't it? Tremendous nonsense.
Talk about writing comedy. You won't believe I'm sitting here and Marta, who's very nice, did a very good job. We were talking about the BAFTAs, and I said, of course, I've never won a BAFTA, but when I was nominated, I know the experience again. Even in her love for European, she couldn't keep out of her, what she was actually saying was, whoa, hang on a minute. How would someone like you? That was the phrase. How would someone like you get nominated for?
Bob. Don't take no notice. She's never even seen your appearance in Doctor Who, has she? Let's be honest.
And I told the story, Danny. We'll get back to the Grammys in a minute after the break. But I told the story.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm sitting. Where they do the cameras, I'm sitting next to Popey, right? The bold Jeffrey, whose mind is very rarely on what he's doing. And just at the point when they said it wasn't us, it was Peter Moore, someone who'd written some very noble piece of work for the BBC, he happened to pinch the crown of his nose, which was hurting with his new glasses. And so the camera quite clearly showed him screaming with horror. Ah! Yes, he went, ah! Like when the other winner was announced.
Well, it also could very easily look like he was trying to squeeze two tears back into his eyes, couldn't it?
Now, was the Grammys anything like the BAFTAs? Because the BAFTAs, and I'm not chai-haying people this, but the BAFTAs was full of people saying, with the horror that we're going through at the moment, I think what we do is more important now than ever, because only we.
There was a little bit of that. Insofar as, you know, one or two of the artists who got awards and things tried to give it some political. But in fact, there was a very good bit. The great and revived this year rap group Tribe Called Quest did something from their new LP because they'd won Best Rap Album or something. And that was pretty good. They had lots of other rappers on with them, one of whom described him as President Agent Orange, a joke for the Vietnam generation, but it brought the house down. But other than that, it was people like Katy Perry wearing an armband that said, "Persist." The trouble was, it was so glittery that you couldn't tell whether it was a fashion statement or a deep and meaningful political statement. It wasn't as serious. It wasn't as serious as the way I understand it went down at the BAFTAs. The politicking. But in one way, though, to give credit to it, and of course, I'm not having a go at anybody who enjoyed all that stuff, because I really enjoy not enjoying it. It's, you know, each their own, isn't it?
Yes, exactly.
But in one way, of course, the Grammys this year reflected exactly the world of sort of high-gloss pop music, and that was all about incredibly powerful women, and let's be honest, chaps who are no longer with us. The ghosts of David Bowie and George Michael hung over the whole thing, while the people who are tremendously successful now, Beyonce and Adele and Rihanna, went about their business of being hugely successful pop stars and hogging the limelight on red carpets and things. Rihanna hadn't even been nominated for anything, and she was there in a massive... She had a usual gown on, but she was also carrying a gold-encrusted hip flask, Bob, which is an upgrade on you getting to the football at Leighton Orient with something a little bit tasty tucked into your back pocket in a plastic bottle.
And the highlight for me, of course, the Best Country Duo Group Performance, not Chris Young with Cassidy Pope, not Kenny Chesney and Pink,
no,
but Pentatonix featuring Dolly Parton. It don't get any better than that.
I think people are aware of how absurd it is now. Because it's 3.5 hours. You know, all right, let me ask you a question, Bob. You're a man whose knowledge of the world sometimes surprises even me. How many Grammy Awards are given out every year?
Ooh.
Take a wild guess.
Well, even with the different fields, I would imagine that to be sensible, you'd want 22.
Right, I'll give you the number now. You're sitting down.
Go on.
There are 84 Grammys given out.
84.
Bloated, corpulent, gas-filled. The thing is a joke in that from that point of view. And I think people are therefore aware of just how nuts it is. Because there was one couple of geezers there. I don't know what they'd won. Something. I think they won Best Group Stroke Duet Performance. I can't remember exactly what they were. But they walked up halfway up to the stage. They took their trousers off. I mean, let's be honest, if Spike Milligan had written it, you'd be saying, that's good stuff. They got halfway up there, took off their kecks and did it in their underpants.
I'm guessing that they weren't Joey and Rory, who won Best Roots Gospel Album.
You can be almost certain that they would have swerved that kind of stuff. Yeah.
I can say, all right, fine, gospel album, fine. All right, if it's got its own group in the ground, let it have it. No, Best Gospel Album, that was Kirk Franklin, Losing My Religion, which, by the way, seems slightly disingenuous for a gospel album.
Yeah, that was probably his last gospel album, then, wouldn't it?
But that was along with... Love Remains, Hilary Scott and the Scott Family, Best Contemporary Christian Music Album, and Joey and Rory with Best Roots Gospel Album. So even there, they're diversifying. Even when within the most diverse thing of all, they still manage to
skid. Can I let you in on a little secret? When I tell you there are 84 Grammys awarded, not all of them get to go up on the stage.
They
only give out about 25 of them on the night.
Some of them they just bung out, and if you catch you've won it.
They come, you know, you have to be in when they come to your front door. Some geezer turns up in a saloon car with a Grammy for you. And you better be it, otherwise you'll leave it in the dustbin.
Or leave it with your neighbour.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Listen, we've got to have
hang on, I can't go away. When you say neighbour, I've got neighbours, they sometimes pick up. I like when they say they've left it at the reception next door. You mean Dave's shed? Well, reception?
Listen, I'm going to let you go because we got break. You don't want to hang on over the break because you've got very more important things. You've got Gnidralog's album.
You're giving me the heave ho now, Bob.
I'm giving Danny the heave ho because when I come back anyway, we're only going to play clips and we don't need you for that. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to come on radio and pretend to have watched the Grammys with me.
Thank you very much, and thank you for acknowledging that it was a pure pretense. Thanks a lot.
Bless your heart. Thank you.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A new kind of talk radio. We'll get you talking.
eBay has every kind of car part for everyone from beginners to the real experts.
Well, that just stopped them squeaking.
Brake pads.
And that's the engine sorted.
Motor oil.
And that's the handling taken care of.
Alloys and tyres.
And that means I've saved myself a few quid.
12-foot snooker table for the spare room. Shop eBay's unbeatable selection of car parts and accessories. The ultimate fixed the car like a hero shop.
I'm Tom. I'm in year 11. I was always getting told off for talking. So I thought about the debating team. Now I'm thinking about university.
I put the debating team flyer in his desk. Was sick of telling him to pipe down. I wanted to put his voice to better use. Now he's thinking about university. I teach year 11. I'm Mr. Corbett.
Apply now and you could get a £25,000 tax-free training bursary to teach subjects like maths and languages. Search Get Into Teaching. Subject to eligibility. Selected subjects only.
By the time Adam has screwed that socket back on the wall, by the time Sam has tightened that tap, or Jim has finished packing up his tools, their click and collect orders from Screwfix will be ready. With Screwfix Click and Collect, you can check stock online at screwfix.com, order, and thousands of trade products are ready to pick up in as little as 1 minute from any of our 500 stores nationwide. Screwfix Click and Collect, in as little as 1 minute.
Have I got PPI?
Want to know if you've had PPI? Find out with our free PPI check. Emmanuelle received over £2,400 on her Barclaycard.
I had already attempted to claim back PPI, but with no success, so wasn't hopeful when I first contacted Stanton Fisher. Needless to say, I was pleasantly surprised with the outcome.
So text CHECK to 80800 for your free PPI check.
Have I got PPI.com?
That's CHECK to 80800.
With Sky Bet, great just got greater. Introducing the all-new Cash Out Boost. Turbocharge your winnings with a chance to win a cash bonus when you cash out your bet. We could make £40 into £48, £20 into £30, and £25 into £50. With Cash Out Boost from Sky Bet, why cash out anywhere else? Sky Bet, that's betting better. 18+, gambleaware.co.uk. Eligibility restrictions and T's and C's apply. Max cash out boost to the value of £50. Amounts will vary. When the fun stops, stop. Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
Major delays in Stoke-on-Trent with both sides of the A500D road closed near to the Basford roundabout following an accident involving a lorry and a car. The D road and surrounding routes heavily congested. The northbound M1 struggling because of emergency repairs near Leicester. Junctions 20 to 21, two lanes are closed. The A1 in the Colsterworth area of Lincolnshire remains closed northbound. There's been a serious accident and a tree has come down as well. And we're still queued through Ringwood in Hampshire for the westbound A31 after earlier problems near to the Ringwood turn. I'm Gerena Adams.
It's louder than rock versus metal, more dramatic than parents versus teenagers, and more historic than Athens versus Sparta. It's the rivalry to end all rivalries, the showdown to end all showdowns. It's epic savings on car insurance versus epic savings on energy bills.
go-to money supermarket to see where you could save most. Britain, your so money supermarket.
Greetings, Earthlings. We come in peace. We wish to communicate with your leader.
I'm Howard Hughes. Join me this Sunday night from 10 for a trip into the outer limits.
Untwist the lid on Talk Radio's specimen jar of the psychic, the supernatural, and the simply unexplained.
The Unexplained with Howard Hughes. Sunday night from 10, Earth Time, on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Bob Mills on Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
Hi, thanks for sitting for 3 hours and listening. This is Bob Mills. I'm in for John Holmes. I'm John Holmes again tomorrow, apparently, am I?
Yeah.
I think I'm John Holmes tomorrow, unless the John Holmes Society, John Holmes listeners, you know, complain loudly enough, and then they'll get someone more akin to them along. But I'll do it. Otherwise, I'll do my best. Thank you, Danny. You see, Danny Kelly, you've seen a bit of the Grammys, but that's why he's a genius, right? Because it's old school. I told you this. I was doing an old radio, so it probably don't even exist anymore, and no one was there to do the film review, so I didn't. I did four films. All I had was a cast list and a one-line synopsis like that. Mm-hmm. Oh, I dragged it out. One of them, sometime later, somebody said to me, I hadn't seen that film and I went to see it because of your review. And I, do you know what? I agreed with everything you said. I hadn't seen it then. I've never seen it now. I don't get the pictures very often. But this is, listen to this, by the way, very quickly. That was the list of Grammys falling onto the desk.
That's 25 pages.
Best Latin Rock Urban or Alternative Album, Levi Tabla, Ile. Best Regional Mexican Music Album, including Tejano. That's an Azteca. No, you should read that.
Hang on. Un Azteca en el Azteca, Volumen 1, en vivo, Vicente Fernández.
There you go. Yeah. That one, by the way. It beat Banda El Recuerdo del Cruz de Zaraga. And Jose Favela, Checo Amaño, and La Maquinaria Norteña Generación Maquinaria, 2006.
What language is that?
Ooh. Best American Roots Song, Kid Sister by Vince Gill. Do you want to hear one of these clips? I don't want to hear them all. I don't want to hear Jimmy Corden falling down the stairs. I've heard that often enough in my rather tortured life. But I would like to... Have we got a clip of Adele stopping when she was doing... Let's play that then.
I know it's live TV. I'm sorry. I can't do it again like last year. I'm sorry for swearing and I'm sorry for starting again. Can we please start it again? I'm sorry. I can't mess this up for him. I'm sorry. I can't. I'm sorry for swearing. I'm really sorry.
See, that's good. That I like.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan of Adele. I have to say, and that's that I like because you start, you know, you haven't got your earpieces in right. You're starting to slightly off. No, so stop. And you see, people know that. People are clever now. They know how the business works.
Yeah, and also because last year she had a similar problem.
Exactly, of course she did.
This year she said, look, I'm going to start again. And the thing is that she's so good and she's so authentic that we don't mind. We're like, yeah, of course, you start again and do it.
Yeah, we know how it works. We know you've not hit the key properly. Fine, stop, start again. And it was, I didn't hear it, but I bet second time round it was sensational, wasn't it?
Yes,
yeah,
it was good.
Of course it was sensational.
It was really
Let's
good.
Have the clip of her. Who have we got on next? Who's next? Delaney. Sam Delaney!
Yeah, that's the one.
Well, Sam Delaney's going to come in a minute and he'll talk to me for a while and then he'll do his show on the wireless. But in the meantime, have we got the clip of her receiving her award? Yeah, let's do that.
I can't possibly accept this award and I'm very humbled and I'm very grateful and gracious, but my artist of my life is Beyonce and this album for me, the Lemonade album, was just so monumental. Beyonce, it was so monumental.
You loved that, didn't you?
Well, I did, except, of course, legally, is she allowed to then give the award to Beyonce?
She broke it in half.
No!
She did break it in half. I don't know if she gave it to Beyonce.
What's it made of? What is it, a stick of rock they give them?
It must be made of plastic, because I can't understand how would you break it in half.
Is that true? She broke, or is She broke it off. Give half to Beyonce, kept half herself.
There are pictures of Adele breaking the award. I don't know if she gave it to Beyonce then or not.
See, because I remember once being at, nothing to do with it, this highfalutin Grammys. It was just a comedy awards thing. And somebody said, do you know what? Thank you very much, but I'm not the... I don't think I was the best this year. I think it's this person. But then it finishes and you think, yeah, well, you've said that, but now what? It doesn't matter. It's, you're still going to be your name on it, isn't it? And that, so basically, why don't you leave them alone with their, you know, maybe they don't like the idea that they haven't won. Why are you making such a big deal of it? But I'm sure Beyonce's big enough. So they were
great.
The highlights, were they?
Yeah, and also Beyonce, I think it was her first performance since announcing that she's pregnant with twins.
Oh, that's right.
Did you see the picture when she announced that she
was
pregnant?
Yes, I saw the picture.
Yeah.
Best rock album, Tell Me I'm Pretty, Cage the Elephant. Best alternative. Have you heard of any of these? Have you heard of Best Urban Contemporary? Oh, no, that was Lemonade. So she won anyway.
Yeah, she won anyway. Because Lemonade is a great album. It's
but
awesome.
So what was it that Beyonce was trying to give her half of?
Because I think it was the best album in general.
Yeah, but if you've won in your category, that's enough, isn't
it? Yeah, but still. You know, this is really funny because it reminds me, I don't know if you remember, years ago when Taylor Swift got an award and Kanye West got onto
yes,
the stage
I remember
and was
that.
Like, Beyonce deserves it, she was better than you.
Yeah.
This is like, in a way, reminds me of that... that incident, if we can call it incident, as you know, Beyonce now, she's reclaimed justice because Adele has said publicly that she thinks her album is better.
The winner in this, I see one of the winners was No Problem, which is Chance the Rapper featuring Lil Wayne. Or
wow.
as John Holmes calls him, Wayne.
So is it.
Do you know what? I promised I would spend 3 hours sitting in John's chair and make no comments at all about his diminution, his diminutivity. But I couldn't. I just saw Lil Wayne and I thought, I can't let it go. I'm sorry. I apologise now. But he don't care. He's having a lovely time with his kids.
Oh, he's not listening.
No, of course he's not. No wonder. This is one of the embarrassing things that sometimes happens when you work on radio. When you come into the building one day, someone will say, you know that thing I was doing on my show yesterday about, and you think, I really don't, mate. I really haven't got a clue what you do on your show. I know when we hand over, we appear friendly and, oh, great, have a great show, I'll be listening in the car. Yeah, really?
No.
Get out of town. What are we doing tomorrow? Here he is. Here's the governor. Here. Hang on a minute. If he's got his on, I'm going to put mine on.
Oh, Marta, you never thought you would be so privileged to be in a room with two middle-aged fellas wearing hats as stylish as these are.
Kangol hats. His has got a tweedy feel about it. Mine's plain black.
You're living the dream
black.
Here, Marta.
This is a dream come true,
yeah,
literally.
A lot of ladies.
And can I just say, Sam, you are the very definition of the word layers.
Yes,
today.
I really am. I'm layered to death. Some people would say I've gone too far.
No,
you can never
overlay.
I push the boundaries.
Yeah, because I can see a shirt, I can see I have to say, a cardigan.
It's a cardigan.
Really,
you can't two ways about it.
Yeah, there's no trendy word for that now, is there?
No, it's a nice cardigan.
It's a cardigan.
You, yeah. And then, says this is quite continental. You wouldn't be surprised to see a Spaniard wearing, a Spanish gentleman in the autumn months wearing
and a massive parka.
Big parka, yeah.
Yes.
Great big parka.
Bit too big, but...
I'll tell you what. Outside, I have to say, it looks quite mild and sunny.
I know.
Yeah. But you look like you've trekked across Nebraska to get
I'll be honest, it was a mistake. I made a few errors this morning with, in terms of temperature. But look, aesthetically, I'm very happy.
Hey, you look great.
But in practical terms, no, not so much.
Mm.
Okay, so do you want to hear what we're talking about on my show?
Yours is going to be a good show.
It's really... I'm glad you said that, because I wouldn't always say it, but I really have high hopes for today's
show.
Go on, I think
what
it's
you
be
got,
great.
Fella?
So we're going to, first of all, we're talking about the Labour Party and the Labour leader, because there's all these rumours and gossip going around that finally Corbyn might be about to chuck it in or get the push. But what we're going to be talking about, rather than just gossiping about that, we're going to say, who on earth, and I'm not even looking for the name of an individual, what type of person could possibly lead the Labour Party nowadays? So we're talking about, it used to be, right, you needed a Harold Wilson, someone with a bit of, northern working class credentials.
A bit of northern grit.
Then in the 90s, it was all about reaching out to the southern voter.
So
suddenly you could have a posh bloke like Tony Blair, who still somehow appealed to enough of the heartlands, right? Now, you would need some sort of freakish hybrid of both, which I don't think exists, whereby there's like a bunch of people in their heartlands who would have voted for Brexit and not have that much hope about their communities right now. And they might be looking for something, well, probably not Jeremy Corbyn, because no one wants to vote for him. But they're looking for some sort of modern equivalent of John Prescott, perhaps.
Yes.
Right? Meanwhile, there's your southern voter, who's the floating voter in the southeast camp, might have voted Remain, middle class kind of person. They want a Tony Blair. You can't have both. So it almost begs the question that, is there even, as society changed so much since the 90s, there's not even really a place for the Labour Party anymore? Because, well, the people who used to support it is so fragmented. Well, society's so fragmented.
They made that strange, almost ridiculous, otherworldly decision where they decided that the best thing that you can have as the leader of the Labour Party was a socialist.
Yeah.
Now, where that kind of crazy thinking came from.
No one likes that, though. No one likes him because he's not like a socialist. He's not like a Dennis Skinner socialist. I think people would get that. People think he looks like a scruffy supply teacher, and he's from North London, so they think he's a plastic socialist.
This is what
people think.
Whereas, in fact, he's a pure dyed-in-the-wool. You couldn't go wrong with him as leader of the Labour Party in the late 50s or early 60s.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what? There's an interesting, maybe this is Dennis's time.
I think it was 80, because he's like they call him father of the house. He's the oldest MP in the house.
Yeah.
And he got a big tribute the other day, because, of course, he's been the funniest man in Parliament for decades. And my favourite was when every year Black Rod walks in.
Yes.
And he always shouts something. And one year, I think it was the 80s, because the ads were big, he shouted, "I bet he drinks Carling Black Label," which is great, because it's so formal, the moment at which he walks in with the Queen as well. The Queen's usually with him, isn't she? And Dennis Skinner doesn't care. So, yeah, maybe it is his time. Why not?
But that's going to be a good question. And
who can lead the Labour Party? We've also got the co-leader of the Green Party coming in here. So that's good. They got two leaders.
Have they?
You know, like...
this is not co-leader, joint leader.
Joint leader,
they take it into job share.
Job share, yeah. Job share, yeah, which is very modern, which you would expect from the Green Party.
Yeah.
So he's going to be here. That's going to be good. We're going to be talking about Daily Mail's campaign against Gary Lineker, which I think is a bit unfair. I find it a bit upsetting. Zoe Williams has written a good piece about Daily Mail and kind of how it decides who to support and who not to support in The Guardian today. So she's going to come on and talk about that, talk about prison crisis. Oh, we've got a whole lot on, mate. It's a rich and diverse array of content.
Well, it's going to be fascinating, and your people are going to enjoy it. I've got to say, John's people... I like doing this show. I like working. Who doesn't? I'm like... But John's people don't take to me. What they do is... No, well, I have a screen in front of me with the tweets and the text. And bless their hearts out there, they shift it along really
quick.
Do they? They don't want me to see.
Who is this bloke? Yeah. I mean, some shows you cover...
Yeah.
You know, I've covered a lot of people's shows, and some people have got diehard fans. And if you're not the one they love, they hate you. Simple as that.
Well, some of them I did. I saw the back end of one which definitely said, "John, where are you? They've left some lunatic in."
Well, to be fair, Bob... That's not entirely inaccurate, is it? But, I mean, not everyone would take that as a... That's not necessarily a criticism.
Right, what are we doing now? It's 4 o'clock. Well, and we got... Is she coming in and do the news?
No, yeah. you wrap up, and then there's a break, and then she'll do the news.
Hang on, wait a minute.
Let's show
this stage by stage. Thank you so much. You've got Sam Delaney coming up. Enjoy it, and thank you for having me.
Talk Radio. Talk and entertainment across the nation.
Talk Radio.
Give it some lip.